Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 76, your one-stop for manga news and comic books for the week of December 9th, 2013. As usual, I am your main host, Derek, and I am joined by my co-host, Mo.
I applied today.
You applied yourself to life? Good on
you. No, to do dog advocacy.
Ah, I see. How did that go?
Yeah, pretty well, actually. Pretty well. Right,
Yeah.
No, seriously, it's really not that hard. I mean, I had someone helping me before, but
yeah, that always helps.
All you gotta have is just dress well, of course. Mm. Have the right stuff, posture, you know what to say, the papers, and boom, you know, it's just simple. Make sure the cover letter doesn't say something like AMC on all of them. It's like, you can't turn that in. It says AMC. I'm like, ah.
Yeah, I actually applied for a team.
It's even worse when the position. It's even worse when the position says usher. I'm like, I think Air Postal hires usher.
I see.
It's like, what's this usher?
Yeah. I applied for a team lead position at work, which would mean, you know, only being on the phone if it's an absolute emergency or if there's an insanely angry person that wants to talk to a manager, which I could see being a huge problem, but at the same time, the amount of time I'd spend on the phones would be drastically decreased, which is kind of what I'm going for here. I can put up with a full day's work if I'm not on the phone the entire time. So,
actually, that's the funny thing. I had to basically ask for the manager, and then if I didn't have the and in the case I don't have the manager, then I give my resume to the person I asked for and say, you know, manager comes back. You know, this is for the manager when they come back and say, thank you for your time and leave. Be courteous, my friend Singh. That's what I have been learning through my changes since late November. I had the most upsetting breakdown. Not like raging anger, temper, or something, but more like just, I just want to just punch. Punch.
Don't die.
Wow. I always wanted to punch people in the face at the time.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, really bad.
Well, it's been a...
As bad as my cough was.
it's been a bit of an eventful time for us. Well, sort of. I mean, I've been busy, Mo's been busy looking for a job, which, you know, we're hoping that happens. Actually, because money is good, and if you get money, you can afford a mic that isn't built into your computer.
Yes, actually, I have plans for this weekend. Friday, I'll be going to watch a hub with some friends, and then since I'm in San Diego, and it's a ritual of San Diegans to do so, I'll be going to Tijuana on Saturday.
That sounds like a terrible idea, but hope you have
fun. I'll be going missing, but don't worry.
You need some water, yo.
I know.
All right, well, also, in case anyone notices any difference in the audio quality, I am using my brand new mic. So it is several steps above in quality for my first mic. Hopefully it will allow me to record without any digital or stereo feedback or any of that, you know, garbled garbage that made our podcast impossible to have segments longer than an hour and a half. With this, I might actually be able to start recording properly and actually do multiple segments in one take rather than splitting them all up, which is my sincere hope, because that will decrease the size of the files. And so, yeah, it's actually kind of neat with this mic. I actually managed to get it for pretty cheap on Black Friday off Amazon, mostly thanks to my Amazon reward points that I've been accumulating for using the Amazon credit card. It's definitely paid off. My next goal is to get myself a video camera. And get it using points, or maybe I'll just spend my Christmas bonus on it. But
Black Friday, never go shopping in person. You'll get torn apart.
Yeah,
if not torn apart, you'll just end up being really upset if you don't win.
Yeah, and
it's like, why would you do?
And especially in your case, since you're such a skinny guy, you'd be just completely trampled, and then
I may be, but I'll be carrying a crowbar. I'll be like, get out of my way.
Pretty sure they don't allow that.
Oh, it's Black Friday. People are beating people up over stuff. I'll bring a crowbar if they're going to try and threaten me.
Well, not like they could stop you, but I think it's frowned upon.
Well, so I'm skinny.
Yeah, well, like I said, skinny guys only have the advantage when their kung fu is strong.
I'm not really in the mood to, like, really punch people in the face, even though I do say so. I'm just more into playing League of Legends.
Indeed.
I will be playing it, but I'm the one to convince you to do this right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, we're only going to record for a little bit, and honestly, I'm taking advantage of the fact that the other tenants right across the door from me have moved out to their new place, and so that means that there's nobody to complain if I make a lot of noise. So evening suddenly became a much better recording time for me, just because I can be as loud as I want.
And you can wear no pants when nobody's home.
Oh, good point.
Well, I'm wearing pants. Okay, I wear pants. It's freaking cold in.
Ah, freedom. Fine, I'll put them back on.
Like, oh God, is he not wearing any pants right now? I'm like, meh. I've done that a long time ago. Now I realize, you know, I'm going to put some pants on.
I've done podcasts without pants on before. The joy is now you can go back and listen to previous episodes to see where exactly I was not wearing pants.
What did they win?
The special Easter egg is the one where I decided to just wear a bathrobe. Have fun with that. Oh, gosh, this is evolving rapidly.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is kind of what it would look like if we decided to do a podcast that was just us talking. Be glad that we have topics to stay on. So, speaking of which, let's go ahead and talk about the news for this week. This week where there were, in fact, chapters, which was great. And, okay, starting with the Japanese comic rankings for November 25th through December 1st.
It's not opening for me. It's saying Google Chrome.
All right, well, calm down.
Oh, my God.
Google Try to open it.
Loading.
All right, well, while you're waiting, trying to get it open, I'll just read through it, okay? All right, in first place, we have Real, Volume 13. In second place, we have Okiku Furikabute, Volume 22. In third place, we have Kanojo wa Uso o Ai Shisugiteru. In fourth place, volume 13. In fourth place, we have Terra for Mars, volume 7. In fifth place, we have Sakamoto Desga, volume 2. In sixth place, we have Mi Sainen Dakido Kodomo Janai, volume 3. And in seventh place, we have Hozuki no Reitetsu, volume 11. And in eighth place, we have Kishibe Rohan wa Ugokanai. And in ninth place, we have Detective Conan, volume 81. And in 10th place, we have Sekirei, volume 15. See, and then One Piece is still on the list in 14th place, with only 58,424 copies sold this week.
What?
It's still there. Let's see.
Fuck is going on with this?
Mo, language.
No, language. I am pissed.
Mute.
To work.
Well, for the love of... Force quit Chrome and then restart.
I did. No, I quit Chrome. I quit. I freaking quit. I closed the browser. I reopened it and it's... I'm just going to delete the entire cache. Delete the... Go to CC Cleaner.
Mo? Have your emotional breakdowns while we're not recording, okay?
Fine.
All right, well, anyway, let's see. What else do we have here? Yeesh. Nothing scarier than a nerd getting angry.
Yeah, believe it.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the New York Times manga bestseller list for November 24th through 30th. All right. And let's see. In first place, we have Sailor Moon Short Stories, Volume 2. In second place, we have The Infamous Attack on Titan, with the Volume 9. In third place, we have Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds, Number 5. In fourth place, Yotsuba, Volume 12. In fifth place, we have Soul Eater, Volume 17. In sixth place, we have Attack on Titan, Volume 2, of course we do. Seventh place, we have Soulless, Volume 3. Eighth place, we have Kingdom Hearts, 358 over 2 days, number one. I don't even know how that's meant
to be. It's 358 by 2 days.
Oh.
I don't know why they say it like that. It's supposed to be the... Basically, it's a game posing of Ross's time in the story. Okay. And you know how things were before Kingdom Hearts 2. It is before Kingdom Hearts 2, Ross's side of the story.
Ah, I see. Okay. I don't get the way they label the title things sometimes.
I don't like it when the Japanese do that. They do weird stuff. Tell me about it.
Yeah. In ninth place, we have Naruto Volume 63, and in 10th place, we have Attack on Titan Volume 3. Alright, fair enough. We need some more One Piece on there.
Right. No, One Piece is on there enough. It's fine. I mean, yeah. We know One Piece is doing well now. There's no need for it to appear all the time.
Yeah.
And I bet some of those listeners are like, yeah, that's right. I'm like, yes, I understand.
Well, the thing is, One Piece doesn't usually appear on the top seller list that often, but when it does... I mean, it blows everything out of the water. It's basically the champion, the semi-retired champion that, you know, maybe it's not showing up that much, but when it does show up, it just humbles all the rookies so severely that you just imagine they just have these severe inferiority complexes and never compete again.
One Piece don't know.
Yes. Yes, indeed. All right. Let's see. Okay, so still not able to load that?
Give me a sec. I'm just working on deleting cache and what the heck's all the fire?
Is it just Anime News Network that's not loading?
It's Anime News that we're not loading for some reason.
Oh, the other site's loading?
The other site's load fine.
Weird. That is, well, maybe it's just Anime News Network being weird.
What is with this mode of extension? Why does it keep appearing on my Google Chrome? I don't want this.
This is the joy of having an editor that refuses to actually edit stuff. I'm not editing this out.
No, don't bother editing it out. I want to express my intense hatred of having to deal with this crap that I went through for an hour or two? Just I went through so much time for the news.
Right. Yeah, that is.
You're lucky I did that. You're lucky I didn't just sit and go, "Oh, I'll just do it later. I'll do like someone."
I would have killed you.
I have a schedule, okay?
Yeah, I got. I would have gotten home and I would have decided, Mo, you're a dead man. Or actually, I probably would have used the excuse not to record tonight because I'm tired. For some reason, where I work, there's this weird thing that I keep getting regular calls. When I have specialized calls that I need to take care of, and all the people that take the regular calls next to me aren't doing anything. A little tiny bit of bitterness there. Hopefully tomorrow isn't busy. Anyway, should get back to talking a little bit about anime, actually. While that continues to try to load, we're going to talk about the North American anime and manga releases for December 1st through 7th, so just last week. Starting off, we have Aquarian Evolve.
It's not loading for me.
Weird.
The site's not loading. I don't know what happened, but the site is not loading for me.
Alright, well, I'll just read the news off and we can discuss it, okay? I mean, you gathered it, I'll read it. Okay, like I said, Aquarian Evolve, DVD and Blu-ray, Part 1, Limited and Regular Edition. Let's see, we have Girls and Panza, Blu-ray and DVD Complete TV Series. We have Magical Play DVD Complete Collection. What is this? Let's see. Oh. O-N-A. Whatever it is, it looks freaking weird. Let's see. Okay, we've got One Piece Season 5 DVD Part 4 Collection Uncut. Mm-hmm. And we have, let's see, Pokemon the Movie, Genesect and the Legend Awakened DVD Complete Collection. It'd be a complete collection if it's just a movie. Anyway, Pokemon Limited Edition Collector's Set DVD contains films 4 through 7 for $10. That's not bad. Let's see, and we have Zatch Bell DVD Seasons 1 and 2 Complete Collection for $100. Whew! That's pricey. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oops. Okay. Oops, I need to be careful not to knock my mic. Okay, We have the manga releases. Let's see, what do we have? Alice Love Fables Toy Box. Okay. Dance in the Vampire Bund. The Memories of Sledgehammer, Volume 1. There's so many of spin-off. They're like, I think this is like the second spin-off of this series that I've seen, and it's kind of disturbing. Like, Demon Love Spell, Volume 5. Dengeki Daisy, Volume 13. A Devil and Her Love Song, Volume 12. Dragon Ball, Volume 7 to 9, Omnibus. And Fairy Tale, Volume 33, which, oh, hey, what a happy coincidence. And, let's see, Happy Marriage, Volume 3. Hunter x Hunter, Volume 31. Kanokon, Volumes, Graphic Novel, Volumes 5 and 6. Nura, Rise of the Yokai Clan, Volume 18. One Piece, Volume 69. Pokemon, Black and White, Volume 13. Pokemon the Movie, Genesect and the Legend Awakened, Graphic Novel. What? Oh, it's probably one of those.
Pokemon movie.
Right, it's probably one of those, you know, comics where they just take screenshots. I hate those. Oh, speaking of things I hate, The Sacred Blacksmith, Volume 3. No, I kid, but seriously though, I'm not a huge fan of that series. Skip Beat, Volume 32. Slam Dunk, Volume 31. Torko, Volume 19. Voice Over, Seiyuu Academy, Volume 2. I've never heard of this one. What is this? Oh, it looks weird. Whatever. And for other releases, we have... interesting. CBLDF Presents Manga, Introduction, Challenges, and Best Practices Book. Gran Turismo 6 for the PS3. Haruki Suzumi Illustrations, Autumn and Winter Art Book. And Saint Seiya Brave Soldier PS3 game. Is it just me, or is that not a great system to be racing for right now?
Which one?
The PS3. So I'm pretty sure everyone's got the PS4
by now. No. It makes sense, because they're trying to do the same thing they did with when PS3 was out. They tried making it for PS2 while they still could, before they say no more PS3 games being made. See, Persona did pretty well because they stuck to PS2 instead of going new next generation console. They stuck with what was already great and just worked with it, and that was great. I know some people would say, why didn't they do this? I'm like, no, that's actually smart. I thought it was like weird at first. I was like, it was smart.
Interesting.
Because if it was already good in the first place, why do you want to upgrade it if you can do what you can do? This is how they save money. This is how they keep making good games. Have you thought about that, people? Have you thought about that? I think you haven't thought about it now, have you? You thought about it now, didn't you?
What?
I thought so.
Ah. I'm just chatting with a buddy who's asking.
Still not open.
Oh, yeah, let's see. I'm just chatting with a buddy right now. He's saying, like, hey, did you watch Attack on Titan? I'm like, not yet, I'm going to. He's like, well, it's only 26 episodes, right? And it's over. I'm like, well, yes, but it's getting a second season. Now he's complaining about how they don't make shows that end.
Well, Attack on Titan has an ending. Oh, yeah, we'll begin to that. There's something I gotta get to that. But, yeah.
I'm just kind of saying, like, well, at least someone get seasons rather than going on forever. But yeah, anyway, that's enough talking to other people. All right, time for the other news. All right, the first bit we have is Yen Press to end Yen Plus Digital Magazine in current format. The final issue of the Yen Plus in its current format. This change opened the door, so lots of new opportunities for us. The Yen Press, Let's see, Yen, after announcing that it launched in 2008, announced in December of 2007, and then it was moved online after the July 2010 issue. Among the series that ran in the magazine's first issues were Soul Reader, Maximum Ride, Nambari no O, Sumo, Bamboo Blade, Higurashi When They Cry, Jack Frost, Morphine Day, Sarasa, and Pig Bride. Yen Plus would later add such titles as Black Butler, Gossip Girl, Night School, and Time and Again. Let's see, the November issue included The Dark Hunter's Infinity and The Infernal Devices, Aaron's Absurd Armada, Maximum Ride, Jack Frost, and So He Did Not. Okay. So I guess the way they're saying, oh, this is how it will be, this will be ending in this format. So maybe they'll do something new, bring out some, do a kind of follow in Viz and Kodansha's footsteps. That'd be kind of interesting to see. And let's see, what else do we have? Fruit Baskets, Natsuki Takaya to go on extended hiatus. Lisa Lotte no Mayo no more Tomayo no Mori, author, that's her current series, I believe. Cannot say for sure when she can return to work. Let's see, it seems that Natsuki Takaya, the author, wrote in a blog on Tuesday that she will be taking an extended hiatus from her current manga to recover from an illness. She said, she noted that her current illness is not a relapse of the cerebral nerves illness that she suffered while she was drawing Fruits Basket. That illness had caused her to take a 1-year break from the series. And of course, she sincerely apologized for causing worry to those involved, her fans, and in quotes, her family, and most importantly, in quotes, her fans. She also apologized to the readers of her current series and added that this time she cannot say for sure when she will return to drawing manga. She says that she will focus first on resting, and will think about when the day will come when she can return to her fans. Well, that's a shame. I, of course, wasn't reading that manga, but at the same time,
I've seen the anime. I've seen the bits of the anime. I have never read the manga. Yes, there's an anime. The anime for me to pop.
No, not Fruits Basket. I mean the current
one. Oh, no.
I read parts of Fruit Basket, but then I got bored. So, which probably not the most sensitive thing to say at the moment.
I think something is messing with my Google Chrome.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can't open it for some reason now. I click on it.
Did you update it?
I didn't update it. What happened was, I opened it and there's an extension. I'm sorry going off topic, but this is really upsetting. This has to be addressed. Like for a while now, when I open Google Chrome, it acts a little weird, and then I know there's an extension that I did not even put. It's called Mode of Extension. And from what I've looked up, people have been complaining about this thing just pops out of nowhere. I'm like, this is not right. This is not cool. This is wrong. He says he stopped.
Well, time to download Firefox.
Yeah.
So go do that.
Except.
And stop distracting us from the topic. Right. Okay. Anyway, as we were saying, hopefully she recovers in a speedy amount of time, because it is definitely a shame when you hear about a creative a person in the creative industry that is having some severe health issues. So hopefully things will work out for her.
Yeah.
And all right, let's see. What else do we have? What do you have this in the news?
I have so much. I'm sorry. I was trying to delete some, but I didn't get a chance to.
Oh, dear. Higan Banano Saku Yoroni Manga's Ichiro Tsunohazu passes away. Another
manga
there.
We don't know about, but you know, yeah. I just want to be my respect.
Also drew adult manga as Jackie Dore before November passing. That's the part where I'm like, we don't cover porn on this podcast, Mo.
I didn't even know. I didn't have time to check.
Right. All right. Well, anyway, let's see. The title of the manga that we just mentioned was The Unforgiving Flowers Blossom in the Dead of Night.
Yeah.
Let's see. So it looks like, it does seem like he was unfortunately struggling with his health, but was hoping to recover, but it doesn't appear that happened, which is a real shame. All right, and what else do we have for our news here? All right, monthly Shonen Rival to end in June with new magazine planned. Kodansha to conduct research for new Shonen manga magazine. Interesting. Let's see, it's manga magazine monthly Shonen Rival, so I guess that's their monthly equivalent to, whatever the monthly one is for Shueisha. But yeah, it's going to end with the July 2014 issue, which will ship on June 4th, 2014, but of course plans to launch a new Shonen manga. Let's see. Kodansha has noted that its manga department has enjoyed increased success as exemplified by the hit title Attack on Titan. It is reassessing its manga magazine lineup to aim for more growth. To that end, it is stopping publication on Monthly Shonen Rival and conducting research for the new magazine. Let's see.
Wait. Where is Titan Time publishing? Which magazine is it publishing?
I can't remember. Obviously not this one.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure it's like the clan something. They're like, or if it is this one, then they're going to move it elsewhere. Let's see. I think their readers, the creators, and everyone else involved. Ask for the continued support. Its current lineup include Momo Pro Z, Tokyo Ravens, Swords and Songs. Let's see. Other piles in the class include Blazer Driver, Kanojo Ga Flag, Orare Tara, Kurenai no Okami to Ashikaze no Hitsuji, and Monster Hunter Orage. Let's see. All right, and let's see. What else do we have? Let's take a look at this. Bones' Space Dandy anime inspires manga in Young Gangan. This year's 24th issue of the Square Enix Young Gangan magazine is announcing that on Friday that Bones' Space Dandy anime is inspiring a manga. Masafumi Harada is drafting the story, which will begin with a 60-page chapter with a color opening page in the next issue on December 20th. And it is the upcoming... Space Dandy is the upcoming science fiction comedy series from legendary director Shinichiro Watanabe, who you may know as the creator of, that recent series, Kids on the Slope, the somewhat, quite popular Samurai Champloo, and, of course, the classic Macross Plus. And I think that's all of them.
What about Cowboy Bebop?
You're damn right, Cowboy Bebop!
That's what I was referring to. But yes, Samurai Champloo is freaking awesome.
Cowboy Bebop is awesomer.
Too, but
it
I
is
like
so awesome that it allows me to break the rules of grammar. The rules of propriety and grammar. They are nothing
awesome
before the awesomeness
be
that
word.
Is Cowboy Bebop. Let's see. Okay, among the animes. Oh, this is interesting. Among the animes, many contributing creators are manga artists Katsuhiro Otomo, Atsushi Kamijo, Sho Tajima, and Katsuya Terada. And just the basic story of that is that the story revolves around Dandy, an alien hunter. His job is to seek out new aliens never seen before, and he receives a reward whenever he finds a new species. So very much back in, I don't know.
It's Space Dandy, right?
Yeah, Space Dandy. Okay. It is very much seeming that this is going to be kind of a returned basics with what made them popular. Very much, one of their biggest hits with Cowboy Bebop, so I'm hopeful for here. Hopefully
But he's going for a comedy feel.
Well, yeah, but Cowboy Bebop had plenty of comedic episodes. Honestly, my favorite ones were the comedic ones. Yeah.
The tape recorder is the most hilarious one ever. Yeah. How do you work this thing? I'm like, God.
He's like, it's beta. No. My friend, the best one is the mushroom episode. Hands down.
Oh, the white one.
Oh, actually, I don't know. Actually, the mutated,
mutated refrigerator one.
Yes, that was pretty amazing. You know what we need to do? We need to sit down and do a little. I think we should do a little mini podcast episode, providing a commentary track for Cowboy Bebop.
But it's not manga.
We can do a different podcast. I have web space. I can upload different podcast episodes.
Oh yeah! Right. Okay.
I don't know. What do you think of the idea? Sort of like we choose some classic series, we watch through them, and then we kind of have it running on our, on our laptops, and just watch the episode in sync, and then we start. We just provide a commentary as we're watching. I think that would be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be kind of a we'll have to see what we do with that because.
That looks strange. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? That looks strange. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, and I think that would be kind of fun. It's like some series that I'd like to go over: Cowboy Bebop, Outlaw Star, Evangelion.
I've not seen Outlaw Star.
Outlaw Star is so much fun. Let's see what else. Oh yeah, Escaflowne, Vision of Escaflowne. Definitely. For the record, we would not be providing commentary tracks for series like One Piece or Fairy Tail because I'm like, too long!
Yeah, No, the skull of Sears actually can, you know, that's the event end. Shamrock Shampoo, Cowboy Bebop, Trigun, you know, they have like 26 episodes minimum.
Yeah, you know, just
shorter,
yeah, shorter classic series and stuff like that. I think that would be kind of fun.
Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann. I have not finished that yet.
Yes. Let's see what else. Oh, yeah, we could do a lot with that. And I don't know, maybe at some point we could start talking about current anime series or something. I don't know. We'll see where we go with that or what the plans are. But I like that idea, you know, just going over some old series and providing commentary tracks and have that just kind of be the entire episode. Maybe do like an episode or two at a time per episode, podcast episode. I mean, an episode or two of anime per podcast episode. I don't think we'd need to do any like news or anything like that in that section. Just do kind of like a commentary podcast. Anyway. I think that's, let's see. Funimation acquired the home entertainment, digital, theatrical, and merchandise rights to the anime. Funimation, oh, frick yes. Funimation will also simulcast the subtitled version of the show on its website. And Adult Swim will host the world premiere of the series on January 4th before the show premieres in Japan.
Yes, yeah.
I need to record that. All right, let's see.
I don't have cable. I hate you.
All right, and let's go ahead and... All right, let's talk about the next bit. Da Vinci Magazine lists 2013's top manga series. The January issue of Media Factory's book and manga news magazine Da Vinci will review its 14th annual Book of the Year list on Friday. The rankings are not based solely on sales. Instead, a group of 4,619 voters, including professional book reviewers, bookstore employees, and Da Vinci readers, selected this year's lists. That's clever. What are we looking at? We've got in places 1 through 5, we have Attack on Titan, Silver Spoon, One Piece, March Comes in Like a Lion, and Chihaya Furu. That's a pretty solid list there.
I'm trying to get this Chrome
yes,
working.
Yes, we heard. Let's see. That's here. All right, last year's list separated manga between male and female-oriented series. Silver Spoon, One Piece, and March Comes in Like a Lion ranked on the male list with Space Brothers and Detective Conan. Chihaya Furu was number one on the female list with Kimi ni Todoke, Natsume's Book of Friends, Oku, The Inner Chambers, and Ori Monogatari. Fun. All right, and let's see what else do we have. Ah, this is an interesting. Director Miyazaki joins film industry group opposing state secrets bill. And let's see, 264 professionals unite to fight Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's state secret bill. Retired anime film director Hayao Miyazaki joined with 263 other film industry professionals to form the Tokutei Himitsu Hogohwan ni Hanataisuru Eigan no Kai group of.
Why is that such a long name?
Because it says group of movie people who oppose the state secrets protection bill. Because apparently anagrams are not a thing in Japan.
So what's the anagram for this one? Yeah, I mean, there's a word for it.
Yes, there is. And that word is... Mo flounder around a little bit more trying to think of it, so you make me seem smarter by comparison.
No, you flounder around.
Crap. It's abbreviation?
It's not that.
Why is this happening to both of us? Dang it. I forgot. I have no idea. Anyway, in response... Somebody please tell us. This is going to drive me crazy. Okay, in response to Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's State Secrets Protection Bill, the bill, which Abe is attempting to pass through Japan's Diet Parliament before the current session ends on Friday, looks to protect state secrets from possible links. Abe declined modifying the bills in a session November 27th after opposition voiced concerns. It is essential for securing the safety of Japan and the Japanese public to make sure that things that specifically need to be kept secret will not be leaked to those who don't have to know about them. Wow. Miyazaki fellow Ghibli founder Isao Takahata, directors Yoji Yamada, Yasuo Furuhata, Nobuhiko Obayashi, Hirokazu Koreeda, and Kazuyuki Itsuzu, actress Sayuri Yoshinaga and Shinobu Otake, and script writers Taichi Yamada and James Miki, oh thank goodness an easy one, joined the group to patiently put up resistance so that a society won't return to the one before and during the war. I mean, good for them, because that is a terrifying concept. Of any time a government is, there are secrets that need to be kept, you're sort of like, okay, that is warning signs right there.
Is this what happened to my computer because of, like, this signal to be kept? I'm like, dude, I just am just bringing up the news. It's interesting. I'm not trying to do anything.
And you're not even in Japan, so I don't see how that would influence.
What the freaking hell, man?
Yep, well, you're halfway there on the no swearing part. Anyway. Takahata said, "We are appalled by the fact that we, the Japanese people, are the ones who created the Abe administration." So I guess you could say Abe is the Obama of Japan. Foreign journalists have also spoken in opposition to the bill, including Tokyo Vice author and journalist Jake Adelstein. The state secrets protection bill aims to crush investigative reporting, Adelstein said. Some foreign investors are saying that they will stop investing in Japanese markets. In a country where freedom of the press is not established, the risk of investment is high because it is difficult to obtain objective economic information. The lower house spoke in opposition to the bill on November 25th. The upper house, with the support of DP, New Komeito Party, the Democratic Party of Japan, and Japan Restoration Party, the New Democratic Party of Japan, the Japan Restoration Party, and your party passed a law to set up the Japanese National Security Council. The council established on Wednesday. That's kind of terrifying. Let's hopefully that doesn't go through, because the last thing that I want to see is a country have that kind of awful law passed, especially a country that, let's face
law,
it,
I can't even check the news.
It's basically the very shady sounding law that says that we can, we need to secure things that need to be kept secret. This bill will keep secret, that we will keep them from leaking to those that don't know about them. And of course, you're saying, okay, what kind of things do people not need to know about? You know, the whole idea that there is anything in the government that people can't know about is absolutely terrifying, because inevitably it would mean something shady is going on here. And I mean, it's
yeah,
just like,
it's speaking like of shady. Speaking of shady, Adblock just added Sullivan.
Yeah.
What?
Okay, Mo, stay on target. No, but seriously, it's sort of like, it's like he's basically saying, hey, we've got stuff we don't want people to know about. So you're just like, even if that isn't what he's trying to say, he's a complete moron for trying to pass that kind of bill, because it's basically saying, hey, I'm not saying I'm hiding anything, but I'm totally hiding something. Wow. I mean, like I said, we really hope that this doesn't go through, just because last thing I want to wish upon any country is a terrible government. And granted, there are worse governments in the world than the Japanese or the U.S. government, but let's just say that there are certain steps taken in certain directions that are very worrisome, and this is one of those. Well, anyway, let's less politics, more manga. Fairy Tale.
I like politics. Too dangerous to talk about.
Indeed. Fairy Tale, The Seven Deadly Sins gets crossover one-shot manga. Let's see. Next volume of Mashima Suzuki's manga ships December 17th. And so second issue of 2014 is announcing on Wednesday that the magazine will contain a 17-page crossover of Hiro Mashima's Fairy Tale and Kappa Suzuki's The Deadly Sins. The Seven Deadly Sins. Combined fourth and fifth issue. Interesting. Just scheduled to ship in Japan on December 25th. Kodansha will feature characters from both manga on the magazine's front cover. The issue will feature both authors drawing images of each other's work, and will bundle a calendar featuring images from both series. Additionally, Kodansha will publish both the 41st volume of Fairy Tale and the 6th compiled volume of Seven Deadly Sins in Japan on December 17th. And let's see, Mashima began his Fairy Tale manga in 2006, while Suzuki began the Seven Deadly Sins last year. And Kodansha Comics is releasing both manga in North America. Now, whether that means just digitally, Let me actually take a look at Amazon and see if we got a. No, that ain't there. Weird. Ah, why did I search for that?
What did you search for?
I searched for the for Seven Deadly Sins, and it pulled up a lot of topless dudes.
What? Oh.
Because romance, slutty romance books. You know.
This is why
I'm terrified.
This is why I don't like. Oh my god! I just don't like our society being. I want it to be accepted when they do stuff like this. It just makes it really hard for me to back it up.
It's creepy, yo. I don't want to see guys topless guys.
Hey, I'm just trying to be equality for women because women are gonna be. I'm not saying anything else.
Well, I don't like it either way. Ugh, pop-ups. Okay, let's see. Where are we?
Okay, well, we got I know some... where I'm not.
Well, yeah. Let me pull up some more. Oh, hey, I just saw you show up on the Google Doc. All right, I'm pulling up some more stock. Oh, that's interesting. Good gosh, you got way too much crap here.
I know, hang on, let me delete some so you don't have to go...
No. Well, okay, don't... I already got that.
Oh, fine.
Dude, I've already passed where you are. What? Okay, no, stop.
I'm not.
You're making it very hard for me to select crap. Okay. All right. There we go. That's better. Yeah, when you're deleting stuff and I'm trying to, you know, open stuff, it makes it very hard for me to figure out where I am.
So, well, I can't figure out where you are because I don't have anything open to do.
Well, if you see where my image is or whatever. Anyway, let's see.
I think Anime News Network must have found I hate them or something.
Oh, dear. Okay, let's see. Got that. And... Oh, this might be entertaining. Okay, there we go. Got stuff open. All right, let's see. All right, so top manga ranked by Kono Manga Gasugoi, 2014 voters. And Takara Jimasha Inc. shipped the 2014 edition of the Kono Manga Gasugoi guidebook on Monday with its list of top titles in four categories. The lists are the results of surveys conducted among more than 400 professionals in the fields of manga and publishing. Interesting. All right. Let's take a look at this. Okay, first place, we have Assassination Classroom. In second place, we have Sakamoto Deska. In third place, we have Ajin. In third place, we have Juhan Shutai. In fifth place, we have The Seven Deadly Sins. In sixth place, we have Attack on Titan. In seventh place, we have Hikidashi ni Terrarium. In eighth place, we have Amama to Inazuma. In ninth place, we have Onoji. And in tenth place, we have Hoseki no Kuni. And let's see, what else do we have? Doesn't look like one... That was for male readers. Doesn't look like One Piece is on there anymore. Snobs. And females, we have first place, Sayonara Sorcier. Second place, Tokimeki Tonight Makabe Shun no Jijo. Third place, Tsukikage Bebe. Fourth place, Hibi Chocho. Fifth place, Kakukaku Shikajika.
Please do not say that ever again.
Kakukaku Shikajika. sixth place, we have Plas Maidi. In seventh place, we have Pochamani. In eighth place, we have Nigeru wa Hachida ga Yakunitatsu. Ninth place, we have Ona no Ie. And in tenth place, we have Torikai Baya. And I don't know that is. Okay, let's see. Top 10. Yeah, you can look this up online. Honestly, I don't feel like going over these. But needless to say that the number one magazine for male readers is Weekly Shonen Jump. And which one's Fairy Tail and again?
Weekly Shonen Magazine.
Shonen Magazine.
Magazine.
It doesn't appear to be there at all. Oh, wait. Is it Bisatsu Shonen Magazine? Actually, I think that might be what that is.
Really? But
I don't know. Besetsu Shonen Magazine. I have no idea.
I think Besetsu for women, for girls.
It does appear to be less. Well, whatever it is. All right.
I don't know. I can't check.
Nope.
That's how bad it is.
All right. Let's see. Young Ace to launch manga by Narue Wolf Children Artists, and I don't care. Moving on.
Wait. Did you just go to the Attack on Titan where you're considered changing ending?
I've not gotten to that yet.
Oh, okay.
I skipped around because of the way you were opening crap. I ended up opening other crap, and suddenly it's all out of order. So let's see. Megane Mikasa promotes Attack on Titan PC reading glasses that, once again,
like PC reading glasses. That's all I'm saying.
This is another one of those cases of just anime characters randomly wearing glasses, and you're like, what, is this supposed to make me want to get these?
Really? Want to be Persona 4?
I mean, dude, seriously! Out of all the anime promotions, why not Persona 4? Alright, this is a nice bit of news. Sayuri Yahagi joins Silver Spoon Anime's second season as Minami Kujio.
Ayame Minami Kujio.
Also known as the best character of the entire damn series, as far as I'm concerned. It's, okay, you know what, people, just watch that, you'll enjoy it. It's great. It's absolutely phenomenal. And so she is pretty much the most entertaining thing in the entire series, and this series has a lot of entertaining characters in it, so yes, indeed. And what else we got? Da-da-da-da. What other news have we? Kinnikuman draws Thor and Captain America in Japan.
Yeah, because, you know, we're both Marvel, and I'm like, oh,
Plus
the Thor movie came out and all that.
Yeah, that actually looks really good. You know? I mean, it's...
Captain Japan! I mean...
It's, dude... America. Well, you know, it's to celebrate the Japanese release of the Marvel-based movies, comics-based movies, Thor Dark World and Captain America Winter Soldier. Yude Itamago is the... Well, I mean, he does, you know, he writes Kinnikuman, so it's pretty much a superhero parody series. So no surprise there. And it's really good. I actually like it. And then there's if Osamu Tezuka and Go Nagai drew Kill la Kill, and it's basically... Well, that just looks silly.
I don't get it. Basically, they're saying, okay, there's a part where they're saying the daughter of manga pioneer or something is doing a silly parody. We can't accept lying him, but Tanaka. Tanaka. Damn, these words spelled. That's a bad typo. Tanaka KT is Unforgiven. I don't. What? He had a daughter?
But yeah, it's kind of fun. It's like, you know, all modern character anime characters drawn in a classic style. I like it. Yeah. So ANN isn't working at all for you. Alright.
No.
Alright, well, Naruto is number 2 in graphic novels in US bookstores in November. You disappoint me all. All of you disappoint me.
Yeah, I disappoint you because I found the news. I'm like, oh, okay, let's put that up.
I'm not even going to read anything else. I'm just going to let that sink in. Let's see. Nice. Witchcraft.
Yeah, now that one worked.
Yeah. Witchcraft Works TV anime slated for January 5th. I still need to watch that short.
You still read that?
Oh, wait. Oh, this is something completely different. I don't know. I actually haven't read it recently, but it entertained me for the first several chapters. So
I haven't read it either.
I'll definitely watch the anime just because... Okay, for those that don't know, it's basically a... it's basically a supernatural person saves normal person who is a damsel in distress, except the normal person is a guy and the supernatural person is this tall, athletic girl who is basically is like, you are my princess. it's funny. I like it.
Yeah.
And let's see, what else do we have? Let's see. We have... interesting. Medeka Box's Akatsuki Pen's One Shot and Jump Next. And that will run in the winter issue on December 28th. And the one shot is titled Library Savior Club. So it'll probably be exactly the same thing. School, but silly. All right.
School, but bizarre, but very bizarre. I wouldn't say so. I say very bizarre. Yeah. No, not bizarre. More like, it's way more bizarre than doing a bizarre thing. It's like, ridiculous. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Now the last bit of news, which is the most interesting one, is Attack on Titan creator considers changing ending.
I read about this one. What he was saying is that I had the original ending where everyone died. I'm like,
oh, no. That is No. Here's, okay, see, he revealed in an interview with widescreen.jp that although he had an ending planned when the series began, there's a possibility that the finalized ending might be different due to new characters and settings. Okay, that would make sense if your series keeps going on and you add new characters, suddenly you're like, yeah, the original ending probably doesn't work. He also added that he has been thinking of creating an ending where everyone died, but after getting so many fans after the airing of the anime, he is wavering over whether he should betray his fans in such a way. He told widescreen.jp that he wants to betray his fans. He is unsure of whether he should do it.
He should do it.
I can kind of see that, where he's just like, oh, should I? I don't know. With a series like that, the whole everyone dies would kind of fit. But
I mean, just roll with it. Don't try and be surprising. Look at Shyamalan. He's not even a mangaka, and he's a badass.
I don't even know what
you're saying. I'm just trying to say, don't try to pull surprises just to, wow people.
It's not a surprise anymore.
It doesn't matter to me.
Well, okay, yeah, I don't know.
If this is what you plan to do, fine. I'm fine.
Well, no. Here's the thing. That's not the planned ending.
Oh, okay.
No, it says that.
Oh, okay.
He has been thinking of creating an ending, so that's not the. Well, that's not the actual ending. So, I mean, we don't know anything, and.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Anyway, I don't know what.
It wouldn't matter. You can't appease anyone. So just do what you can. If how Naruto and Bleach are going to be ending. If it ends that way, that's just what the creator. If the creator actually
dies in Naruto. Oh, thanks, sweet relief. Everyone dies in Bleach. Twist ending. They're already dead. Oh wait, that's not a twist ending. It's like everyone dies. Wait, how? What? How is this? This doesn't mean anything. It's like the twist ending in Dragon Ball where everyone dies. Actually, wait, everyone does die in that series.
And then they come back to life.
Exactly, and then if they don't come back to life, there's a freaking established afterlife where it's like the easiest afterlife to leave outside of Bleach.
And what if they die in the afterlife?
I don't know, that's never established. But, yeah, I think that is, oh gosh, that is the news. Hopefully the audio is still good.
Not me.
Yeah, I went through every single bit. Why'd you do that to me?
I didn't mean to. I meant to have to go through myself, but my Anime News Network were not letting me in.
Weird.
No, I checked online to see if it works. It said, oh, it's just not working for me. I think my IP address got blocked or something. I don't know what happened.
That's weird. Maybe they're like, oh, this is one of those douchebags that keeps stealing news from us to use on their crappy podcast. It's like, block him! And I'm like, oh, gosh.
That's probably what happened. Thank you very much.
Oh, I would not be surprised. At all.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
That being said, all news that we have covered is taken from AnimeNewsNetwork.com and, in some cases, Crunchyroll News. .com or just crunchyroll.com. I don't know if they have a special URL for the news. But it is the result of many hardworking journalists and reporters who are working for their passion, anime and manga and Japanese media in general. And they, of course, provide this news, which we shamelessly steal to report on in our podcast.
He showed me the site. I didn't go. I only went there because he told me to go check that out more.
Quiet.
And, I'm not gonna be quiet.
Yeah, well, okay. And jeez, that was a long news segment. Well, actually, how long was it actually?
It may not be a long news segment. This happened.
No, jeez. Well, I might end up being like, I'm gonna need to cut most of this crap. Too much complaining.
I might need to update my computer because apparently I need to. It says new update or something.
All right. Well, that is for a discussion that doesn't happen while we are recording, so let's go ahead and move on to a possible topic time we haven't decided yet. We'll see you there. It is time for our tri-weekly topic time. Or something, I don't know, we only ever do this we only ever do this whenever Fairy Tail comes out, so... Might as well, because one volume of Fairy Tail doesn't take much time to discuss, as opposed to three volumes of Evangelion all at once, or three volumes of anything, really. So let's go ahead and discuss ourselves time skips. Why? Why do we need time skips?
Usually there's so much to cover within, you know, basically we don't want to see another 5 arcs of, so no, we don't want to see another 10 years worth of something happening when it could happen within 2 or 5 years even, you know, just skipping 2 to 5 years ahead. But because of that, so, sometimes the time skip has to be done in such a way, if they do that, they may have to add in, oh, this happened between this time, you add some little things like, oh, this city fell apart here, these people rebelled, and whatever happened, and all the, you know, this person's dead now, this person's up in charge or something, like, what, you know, but they don't give it all away, like how One Piece does.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is that the purpose of, say, for example, the Naruto time skip was to avoid exactly what happened in the 2-year time period that the Naruto anime covered, where they did 2 years worth of filler. I mean, that filler is, like, that is a mystery to me. I know nothing about that filler, and I feel richer for not knowing about it.
Well, there were Magic Knights in it, in one of the fillers.
You shut your dirty mouth.
I played the card game.
I don't want to hear a word. I do not want to know anything about that. But, anyway, as we were saying, we're supposed to focus on manga. And manga time skips, to be specific. It seemed not too long ago that there was kind of, I don't know, time skips were kind of in vogue for a while. I mean, Naruto did it several years ago, but One Piece, Bleach, Fairy Tail all pretty much had time skips within, you know.
Basically, it was when One Piece did it. It was basically when One Piece did it, and then it's like, okay, you know, One Piece did it, okay, you know, Naruto did it like some years back for One Piece, okay. And then all of a sudden, Bleach does it, like, what? And then some Fairy Tail does it, like, what? And then.
I think one of the main reasons why it's done and why people are kind of do get excited about them at times is because it's a chance to change things up without having to show the changes, like you kind of mentioned. You basically, it's sometime, in some cases, it's like reading a new series that's still the same series that you love, but the changes have been made and you've got new stuff to explore, the status quo has changed. Like, for example, with Fairy Tail, status quo, completely different. The main characters didn't change at all, which was kind of pointless. With Bleach, one of the reasons we wanted the time skip was, or enjoyed the time skip at first, was because we just got to see how things were different afterwards. We got to see new character designs and stuff, but unfortunately, again, yeah, like you just said, nothing much changed. With One Piece, it was kind of the same thing. We were like, oh, what are these new character designs going to look like? The Straw Hats, what are they going to look like from now? And it was just like, you know, it was just exciting, new stuff.
But the characters did change a bit. Yeah. I mean, okay, just to go into One Piece for a bit. You know, with Bleach, the characters seemed the same no matter what. I don't know why, but they just did.
Yeah, they didn't change enough.
Okay, with Naruto, I'm going to say a bit, it seems like they changed. I can't tell.
Well, I think with Naruto, the time skip was actually pretty well done. Okay. Because there was a lot of focus on, oh, what is different here? Let us show you what is different.
That's why I said it seems like they changed. I don't remember much. Because that was like, stuff like back in 2000, what?
A while back.
2007? Was it?
About that time, yeah, I think so,
good. Okay. But yeah,
it was around the time I started reading Naruto. Weekly, or started getting caught up. That was around 2008, beginning of that. So,
but yeah,
it was around that time.
But going back to One Piece, it was actually a lot more notable. Like, the characters actually didn't just change in look, but they even changed in a bit of their personality. Like, Zoro was more open. Mm-hmm. Robin actually had facial expressions, apparently, now.
Well, that's definitely more recent.
Let's see. Usopp is not as... Well, he's still a bit of a coward, but he's not that cowardly anymore.
Yeah.
Especially in appearance. Well, Sanji actually doesn't feel like a butt monkey for once now. Kind of.
He was a bit away. He was a butt monkey at the very beginning. Not at the very beginning, but before the time skip. So, yeah, that's not much of a change right there.
But, still.
Yeah, I think, it is very much interesting because, I mean, we know the reasons why time skips happen, but at the same time, I kind of start wondering, is it, you know, is it been over, has it been abused? In manga.
I feel like Fairy Tail abused it.
Yeah, somewhat. I think by that point.
But then I do remember a discussion we had about it, like, you know, sometimes I think of off air. You were saying something about how basically it's like Mashima did it, like he was trying to reset the series, but he just couldn't reset it, so he had to just basically reset the characters, all their progress, fast forward them 7 years, you know, later into the future, but not aging them, and just go, okay, start over again. Like, what the? That was just so jarring, regardless how it just went. Like,
yeah, and I think by that point we'd had several pretty major series that had time skips. And we were kind of thinking, oh, great, now you're abusing it. Because, you know, I think it was just a matter of timing. And, I mean, this isn't the first time that manga have done time skips. I mean, JoJo's Bizarre Adventures is entirely, you know, time skips. That's its entire thing. I mean, Dragon Ball, when it was switched from Dragon Ball to Dragon Ball Z in the anime, I mean, that was a time skip. And there are I can't think of any off the top of my head, but time skips were used. It's just that with these big popular ones, it reached a point in the story where a time skip was necessary, and it did allow them to kind of press that reset button and just tell the story, but make some changes to
up. Just to be clear on time skips, when we're talking about time skips, we're talking about when they happen in the mid-story, not after or before.
Right, yeah, it is definitely, I mean, yeah, and it isn't just this is 6 months, you know, that doesn't count. It has to be a year or more. I mean, I'd even say a year doesn't necessarily count. I'd say, for me, the minimum is 2 years.
17 months, I'm like...
Close enough.
Just close enough.
Yeah, but yeah, I would definitely say a year is the minimum for it to be a proper time skip, you know. It would have to be an amount of time within which people could... realistically change. For teenagers, you know, like the characters in all of these manga, really. Just a year two is plenty of time for them to
change.
What about
Zettai Kaaren Children? Didn't you still used to read that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did have a pretty major time skip. That one, I think the purpose of that was because I'm kind of cynically saying he wanted to give more fan service of his main characters. So he had a time skip, except he skipped them from 10 to 12, which makes it creepy. I don't know. It's a weird series like that. But it did kind of, yeah, that one again, it was like, you know, hey, we're going to make a slight change to the series. You know, so, you know, you enjoyed it for these reasons. Okay, let's just change that so it seems more like a brand new series that you're reading. And at times that does kind of, you know, give it a fresh feeling. So, I mean, it seems like pretty much a lot of manga do it. And it does seem like a very recent thing as well.
I can't think of any other series that do time skip other than the ones in Shonen.
Well, those are the only ones we read.
Yeah, other than the ones we read, but yeah, I know there are plenty, but
I know,
they're not the ones I know. The
three strongest disciple, Kenichi, didn't do a time skip. Let's see, Detective Conan hasn't done a time skip. What else? I can't think of any right now. I mean, a good chunk of the ones that we read have done time skips, so it is definitely noticeable and worth talking about. Now, the question is, do we like them? You know?
Personally, go ahead, you go first.
Yeah, I think overall, I don't know. I still like them just for the possibility, I won't say tension, but or really mystery, but just for the anticipation of what the changes are going to be. I kind of look at it and think, oh, what is going to change? Will it be a good change? Well, I like it. And ultimately, change is good, I find. I know that sometimes you can change something that changes the series so that it's not the thing that people liked before. But at the same time, it also allows us to, you know, just to move, it gives us a way to visually move the story forward. Like, you know, I mean, we may have been following this series for 10 years, but the characters haven't changed at all. So do a quick time skip and change the character designs. So suddenly it feels like, oh, it has changed. It gives this sense of progression, which I think kind of helps the series. So, mm-hmm. yeah, what do you think?
So, what I think about time skips? Well, mm-hmm. they're okay as long as they're not done, you know, overdone. I mean, it's for me, I say time skip just once per series is fine, except those of our adventure, as we haven't really gotten to the second part yet. Second part?
Yeah, we still need to cover the second part.
Yeah, we're overdue on it. Anyways, with Joe's Bizarre Adventure, that one's got an exception because it's like, I think there's like six parts, and then after that, it's a different story in its own way, but that's all I'm going to say. And then, Joe's Bizarre Adventure is a strange one, but for time, I just feel like this one just be done, you know, it is done at least once, but at the same time, it should be done in a way where it's not overdone.
Right.
Joseph's Bizarre Adventure got away with that because it had a reason for it. I'm like, okay, that's a good reason. Good reason, you know, they want to cover these other characters and, you know, how they tie into the plot, into the actual MacGuffin. MacGuffin, right?
Right, yeah.
That mask thing is basically mm-hmm. MacGuffin that start all this crap. I mean, all that crap. I mean, it is crap for them, not crap for us. But, for me, time skips, okay, I'm going to be picky. I'm going to be a nitpick here. I'm okay with a time skip if it actually is changes to the characters, like especially in the parents. Fairy Tale really disappointed me when the characters did not age. I was like, what the heck? Other than the jarring part, just everything about that transition was just so frustrating on me. And I bet it was for a lot of other people. I mean, some people were probably, oh yeah, it's awesome. I'm like, dude, they didn't age. They didn't change. They're still the same. They just did a reset to level one again. Mm-hmm. They're still the same. They're just going to grow. They're just going to level up the same way, but a different branch, path, class, or whatever.
Yeah, it does really feel like, you know, the time skip was pointless because the things that are normally supposed to be changed in a time skip didn't change. We didn't even get new character designs except for tertiary characters we don't care about. All the important characters, the main characters and the secondary characters were there and preserved at their, you know, at their
prime
age, you know. Well, not prime, they're like 16 and 17. That's not your prime.
I know, I'm just,
you know,
saying
it's you know, it's preserving them. It's the character designs aren't changing, and I just can't help but think, okay, why was this? What was the point? I mean, we got changes for these other characters, but I'm not interested in seeing those characters' changes. I want to see the main character 7 years older. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
I mean, I'd like to see it in not just an epilogue. I mean, it would be really cool to see all these main. I mean, I guess Mashima wanted to do a 7-year time skip, but he didn't want the characters to get too old for the target demographic. But honestly, having those characters grow up to like be age 17 would have been cool. Except, you got a lot of them, the ones that are now older, that they don't look like they're 7 years older. They went from, like, 15 to 22, or you know, whatever they started
15,
out
yeah, 15,
as.
15 to 22.
About, pretty much, yeah. 16 to 23. Yeah, so it feels like, you know, they don't look like they're adults. They still, the character
designs. 25 to 32.
Yeah, the character designs still pretty much look the same.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't feel like anything's really changed about that, and so a lot of that's one of the problems with his art style is that these 16, 17, 18-year-old characters, man, I don't even remember how old Urza is or Lucy is, but you know, they're drawn in a way where like, okay, these are the bodies of adult women, these are not the bodies of 16 or 17-year-old girls. You know, so when you suddenly see these characters that are, oh, these are supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to be in their 20s, suddenly you're like, she looks exactly the same she did when she was like 18. I don't see how we're supposed to buy this as this is an older character. So it's a problem with his art that I definitely have.
Let's not forget, I have a feeling that the time it just happened on a whim because he may have planned it, but he didn't plan it well enough, so it just happened like that. And it's Mashima. Sometimes I feel like his series, maybe he doesn't know what he's doing, he's just doing a satire. He's just doing a satire or shonen manga in some strange, bizarre way.
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know, just think about it. Think about how he takes these things and just go, whoop, out the door. Like,
yeah, it.
What?
I don't know. I don't think it's clever enough to be satire. It feels more like it's shonen manga trying to play it straight that isn't really quite getting it. You know, it's missing the point. It lost what it had. But anyway,
you mean like Family Guy?
Man, Family Guy. Oh no. Okay, the first two seasons before they got canceled were fine. After that, it sucked. Anyway, I think we've probably exhausted the topic of time skips by now. It's just going to turn into us complaining about Fairy Tail, and let's talk about Fairy Tail to complain about Fairy Tail. Okay, so this is Fairy Tail, Volume 33, and this is, like, last week I said that, hey, this is a volume I can't take with me to work, to read, because I might get fired for having near pornography.
This is the one
I was wrong. This is the one that I'm like, I can't take this to work. I'm going to get fired. But anyway, the basic story is there's more fights. I mean, honestly, that's the basic overall story. What else can we get into?
It's a tournament arc, after all.
Yeah, it is very much. I mean, we get a bit more at the beginning from what's his face? I forgot his name.
The Sinister guy?
Yeah.
The guy that's actually Sinister.
Yeah, you know, the dude that...
Arcadios.
Yeah, Arcadios. Yeah,
Arcadios.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm singing like Japanese.
Quiet. We later find out that, spoilers, but we've been covering these chapters for a while, but turns out he is actually a good guy, which just makes all this sinister behavior so misleading. Or, I mean, are we supposed to believe that this guy does everything sinisterly? Is like, I mean, is it a common scene to have him at the 7-Eleven or the Kmart just doing his grocery shopping, and the moment some and the
grocery shopping at Kmart probably food for less.
Nah, I don't know. I don't do much grocery shopping. All the places I go to are local, and nobody would know them. But anyway, before you continue trying to derail my point. Is he just walking around, like, you know, most of his face in shadows, and someone comments, man, that's a lot of groceries, you should go get those home and get a rest. And he's like, rest? No time for rest. Soon my cake will be complete!
And then security goes out there and they think, sir... we had some complaints from the customers and even the employees. We need to escort you out. You're making everyone else uncomfortable with your shadowy looks and such.
Mo, what? Next time just laugh at my joke. Don't try to make it bad or end killed in the process. Bad Mo. No, but seriously, this guy is actually kind
it's
of
so
hilarious.
It's so confusing with this guy.
Yeah, it's sort of like, okay, is he supposed to be... it's very much supposed to be, dude, this guy is a bad guy. It's like,
consistency.
Well, no, it's not even consistency. It's more, I mean, there's red herrings. And then there's red herrings bathed in the blood of the trust of the readers.
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
Wait, my blood.
Yep, we have bled for this series, but... Right, and then carrying on, we get this arc. This arc has given me plenty of moments to complain about. It used to be where once every, like, 50 chapters, there'd be something stupid. Like, now, wait a minute. How does it make sense that he actually controls time when he's going and running? And, you know, he actually runs and goes fast, and it's been established that that's what he does. But, no, in this case... So one of the games turns out that it is basically a race on these moving carts.
That's a pretty cool game, I have to admit.
I mean, the game is cool, and we have the typical Natsu is the one that did it, and everyone's reactions, and you're just like, ah, that's funny. But then you find out that not just Natsu, but Gajiel and Sting.
Sting.
Yep. I just, with him, it's easy now. I just remember. Just imagine the silliest outfit a rock star could wear and suddenly think Sting. There you go. But anyway, we find out that these guys are motion sick as well, thus hinting that dragon slayers in general cannot take transportation. Now, this would be perfectly fine. This would be a funny joke. The problem is it's already been established that is not the case. How do we know this? Because at the beginning of the S-Class exam, they were all on a boat. We saw Gajiel not sick. Natsu was hurling. Gajiel was just fine. Ergo, if you have a joke and it's going to conflict with something you've already established, I don't care how funny you think it will be, you're going to have to drop it. Because it's not going to make sense. You've got... I'm not even going to get angry about this. It's just stupid.
Actually, this... They try to, basically, Majima tries to, clarify or back it up by saying, oh, but having Sting say, oh, you know, oh, so you finally understand, so you're finally a true Dragon Slayer when you see field transportation. I'm like, what the, I'm gonna slap you. What the hell?
Yeah.
I'm not taking that. No. Mm. No.
Yeah, it's.
Okay, I'll admit, I was actually laughing at first my first time because I do not remember as well back as you do because this is not very memorable for me, to be honest, personally. And it's just, you know, I thought it was funny at first, but then when you mentioned that you was on the ship in S-Class, I was like, wait.
Yeah.
And you know what's actually funny though? The thing I like most about this moment with Gadil is that he acted in such a way, it was like, hey, what the heck, creator? What are you doing to me? Like, I'm not supposed to be like this.
Yeah.
it's like he's almost trying to break the fourth wall and tell Majin, what the heck are you doing? I'm not supposed to be like this. I'm not supposed to be hurling around like these guys are.
Yeah, look, I mean, even if it's a comedy series, you can't just go breaking what you've already established. If you wanted all Dragon Slayers to be motion sick, you should have thought of that before you showed one of them on a boat, not sick.
Well, Wendy can't get sick because she has that spell thing.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I am going to take a moment, and I am going to get one of my volumes from that time period. One second.
Oh, boy.
Okay. How many volumes is that? Hey. Don't go opening crap.
Okay, basically, the time skip started in volume 30, so...
Yeah, well, one sec. Okay, let's see.
I think it was 24 or something. It was about six volumes. It started 24 or 23. I can't remember.
Okay, there we go. Okay, I've got volume 24 in my hands right now.
Okay.
I'm
putting the bag of chips down.
Don't pick it up during the recording, dang it. All right, I'm picking it up. We're looking at this. Okay, we have... Let's see. Okay. We have them all on the boat, and tearing your eyes away from the very obvious fan service, let's see, what do we see? Okay, we see a small panel of Gajiel. Okay, what is he doing? Okay, well, first...
What chapter was this?
Which chapter was it indeed? I'm looking at it. There it is, chapter 203.
Okay.
So, I mean, you've got the standard Natsu walking around with his cheeks filled with vomit, pleasant, and barfing over the side. But a little bit before that, you see an image of Gajiel just kind of sitting at a table in the background, his head in his arm, looking like he's asleep. Okay? So clearly, he is not bugged by this because he is gone to sleep. And then, where do we go from there? Oh, and then a little later, when they get to the island, you've got everyone looking seriously. Natsu still looks comedically sick. And then you show Gajiel standing there with his arm on top of Levy's head, very clearly not sick. Then, let's see, where do we go from there? We have, they start to leave the boat, but then they're not able to, and Gajiel jumps off the boat and starts swimming, and he very clearly is not sick. Okay, so I was just doing that to make sure that this wasn't a case of me saying, oh, why did you do this? You did this wrong. But then it turns out he actually didn't cover it in that No, it turns out he very clearly, I mean, he wasn't in very many panels, but he was very clearly not suffering from seasickness. So, joke invalid. Okay, let's move on from there. I would also like to point out that big tear-worthy moment where everyone's like, Natsu's like, oh, I won't give up. I am sick and sweating, but I'm serious, and everyone's crying. And I'm like, this is... Don't try to go from a crappy comedic moment to a crappy meaningful moment. It just doesn't work. It's
bad transition.
And it's I don't know what is up with this volume. And then there's a fight between Toby and Kurohebi, where it's basically Toby gets his butt kicked and he goes on about this stupid thing with the sock, where he's saying, "Oh, I lost my sock. Where's my sock? I'm so sad." And the dude's like, "You're wearing it like a necklace." And he's like, "Oh, my sock, you found my sock, you're a good guy." And then he just takes the sock and just tears it. And he's like, what's the exact line? Like, look at that. There's like the contestants are going to shake hands. No, they aren't. And he tears the sock. And everyone's like, "Oh, this is so terrible." And I'm just like,
"That's like a wrestling match.
This was stupid. It wasn't even funny. I don't know what to think about it."
Wrestling match.
It's, and I mean, I do like that Gray and Lucy are just like, "What the fuck is going on here?" But everyone's like, they're even, you've got his comrades are like all sad, or at least they're crying. Well, they're not even crying. They look ashamed, actually, which is good. But you've got everyone's like, "Oh, how horrible, he tore the sock." And I'm like, dude, why is the tearing of a sock being played off as, like, the worst thing the Raven Tail has ever done? What the crap? Remember when the one member threatened a young girl? What is this?
Apparently they don't remember that.
No, but it's like, is this supposed to be just funny? It's not. I don't know why anyone would think it would be. It's just bizarre.
Random humor. Bizarre humor.
I don't get it. And if that's not even enough, I didn't even mention Bacchus, which, by the way, that guy sucks. Okay, so I will admit that the fight between him and Elfman, ignoring the fact that Bacchus is said to be as strong as Urza was 7 years ago, and possibly much stronger now, but the fact that Elfman beats him is impossible. I do like the way it's done, where it's like, I can't overpower you, so I'm going to take a form where the only way you can defeat me is to severely hurt yourself. And he manages to win that way. Okay, that's fine.
Tank.
As much as it's kind of stupid that Elfman could even conceivably beat someone that could beat Urza, or that was tied with Urza.
Well,
I mean, even if we just take it like that, it's like, oh, that's okay. Are we supposed to forget the fact that Bacchus essentially was trying to bet with Elfman for the right to rape his sisters? And nobody at any point said, no, you don't have the right to make that bet. Elfman doesn't have the right to accept that bet. I mean, Elfman never accepts it. Or, I don't think he does. Let me double check. I'm pretty sure he doesn't. But, no, he admits it. He's like, "Our bet, what happens if I win?" He's like, "If I win for the rest of the games, your guild name will be Quattro Puppy." And I'm like, dude, the guy wants to rape your sisters. I don't think that's valid. I don't think you should be accepting the bet in any form. So he does go in and basically accept the bet. And I'm like, is nobody going to say anything about this? Is Mira not going to say, "Oh, hey, yeah, you know that bet you made? My brother gets to say jack shit about what I do or what anyone does with me, so go fuck yourself. I apologize for the language, but I feel it's appropriate in these circumstances." It's just, I mean, I try not to get into the whole sexism crap and all that, but this is some serious bullshit from Mashima. Just this whole, "Oh, hey, look, these girls, they're being used as, oh, yeah, she's usually powerful in her own right, but now she's basically going to be a prize for this fight, and she's not going to complain." It's like, dude, man, if I were her, I would smack Elfman in the face after that fight, even though he did win. I'd be like, No, you don't make bets like this. You're not allowed to accept bets like this. Also, I'm pretty sure somebody should be arresting Bacchus for openly admitting that he would like to rape these two women. I'm pretty sure that's
illegal. Well, I mean, considering how we know the rest of the arc's going to go, that doesn't really...
Yeah.
There's worse things. It's just worse things. I just don't understand.
Oh, hey, speaking of worse things, you know that woman that was just used as a... As a sex prize for this previous fight, she's in her own fight, and it's all about wearing skimpy outfits. I have no words. I mean, I know what words I had at the time. I was like,
well, the problem is that the two that are fighting each other are having a model for one that was a model, that is a model again.
Yeah,
it's just
I don't know. I mean, the ending, the whole oh hey, if you lose, you have to show up in this magazine completely naked. And I'm just like, okay, fair enough. All right, at least this time you're making the bet with a person who actually has a say about this, you know? So, fair enough. And then they fight, and of course, Mary Jane wins because she's goofy and way more powerful, which is, I don't know. I thought that moment was fun. That was fun enough. The climax, haha, of that fight was entertaining, though at the same time I'm like, oh, they're going to show, she's going to pose nude in this magazine. I didn't realize this magazine was a porno magazine. I thought it was just a regular magazine with photo
shoots.
Well,
that explains
shoots.
How Makao Wakaba was acting the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And
Mashima, you are heading towards a super slow. Yeah. Actually, no, you've already had.
Yeah, then we get an okay, fight with... what was it? Jeez, so much stuff. Kagura and Yukino. But then, of course, you get the aftermath of that, and you're like, for the love of hell.
I know.
What the heck, Mashima? What the heck? It's like she basically, Yukino from Sabretooth loses, and then the Guildmaster's like, oh, hey, I'm kicking you out. But before I do that, strip down naked, stand naked in front of everyone, and for some reason she's only covering her chest. I'm like, dude. I mean, girl, is another part you might want to cover. And then he makes her bow all in the nude. And I'm like, thank goodness for those speech bubbles. Thank goodness. Otherwise, this would turn into straight up porn.
Thank goodness Mushroom's not doing seinen.
Oh, gosh, I would not be reading this. Though we do have a fun scene where we discover that Miliana is a member of, was it Mermaid Guild? Yeah, that's it. The All Women's Guild. She's basically grown up. Okay, now, this is the kind of character design I was hoping for. Well, okay, now, great, this makes me sound awful. This is the kind of character design I was thinking of when I think time skip. We went from the Tower of Paradise arc, where she's basically, like, I don't know, looks like an actual 15-year-old girl, where now she's probably, I don't know, however old, 22 or something, and she actually looks like she grew up, you know? So, I guess... I don't know, I guess in Mashima's world, you've got 15, 14 and 15 years old, but the moment they hit 16, suddenly they morph into an adult body immediately. Maybe that's how it works. It's weird, but, and, let's see what else. Of course, Natsu is all, oh, hey, what the crap, why'd you kick out this girl, and I'm gonna beat you up, and he attacks Sabretooth. And let's see, also worth noting, Urza and Gray have a talk where Urza's basically, dude, you know exactly how Juvia feels, so you shouldn't, you know, you need to make up your mind. And of course, he makes up his mind later, and we're like, this build-up makes no sense. So that's the volume, except for a little bit at the extra, at the end, which is actually kind of amusing, where you have the aftermath of... Mira Jane and Jenny's fight, where you have all these guys that go to see Jenny in the nude, and of course she's not entirely nude she's entirely nude, but, you know, covering up the naughty bits, so not fully nude, not, you know, pornography, more just modeling, I guess, I don't know. I fail to see the distinction, but so it turns out that the magazines here basically project 3D images. And so you've got the image of Jenny all naked, just one hand cupping her breasts, and sort of like with her back arched and her back pointed towards the camera, and they're like, oh, this is so hot. They turn the page and it is all the guys from Blue Pegasus with Ichiya front and center. All naked. And of course, you've got Macaw and Wakaba who are watching these all excited, reading this and all excited, and they just almost die. And then, of course, their family members walk in on the 3D magazine displaying the full-on naked Ichiya spread-eagled, completely displayed. And I am, well, with that one thing covering his junk, which I assume is actually there in the magazine. And they just, it is actually kind of funny. And then, of course, we get a bit of a confirmation, perhaps, of Freed's sexuality, because you see him looking at the chibi nude images of Ren, Ren,
Eve, and
Hibiki. Yeah, Ren, Eve, and Hibiki. And he's got a very appreciative look and blush on his face. So I think that answers that question. And that is the volume. Okay. That took a while. There was a lot of material. Most of it complete bullshit.
So far I am not pleased. Yeah, with the... You go. I think you got more sense to say than I do.
Yeah, this is not a good volume just because it contains the worst elements of Mashima's writings, the oblivious sexism in a lot of his female characters. I mean, usually I say he's pretty good at it, but then he objectifies them, uses them for like, you know, bedding materials, and I just can't help but think, it's like, why did this have to happen? This volume is just cluster freak of everything that's not good about Fairy Tale. And in certain elements, you don't realize how bad they are until you've read everything and, you know, you're caught up. And it just, you just find yourself thinking, oh, there's so many bad things in a row that you start looking more critically at the more innocent stuff and you start thinking, why do I read this series again? I mean, how I read it, it has some really good moments, and I do enjoy it. It's just got, the first volume of this arc, it was good. I enjoyed it. I liked it. The second volume was a bit boring, which, you know, his greatest sin there being that he just poorly put it together and ended with a bunch of fights. Here, it was nothing but a bunch of fights, but pretty much every single one of those fights illustrates one of the bad parts about his writing, and I just not happy with this volume at all. If you want to continue reading Fairy Tail and be a fan of it, not that much happens in here that's all that important. Or, I mean, there are things that happen that are important. I would just say skip the fights themselves for the most part and ignore the you can put up with the other stuff. Just skip the Elfman and Bacchus fight. That's all you need to do. Do not read any bit of dialogue involved in that fight. Do not. I don't care if you're an Elfman fan and you want to see him win. Just skip that part. Ignore that it exists and maybe you can enjoy the rest of the volume. But the fact that it does exist is very troublesome, and I would much rather it did not exist in this. And of course there's the fact that there's a crap ton of fans.
How did they get through the checkpoint, you know, the whole, you know, since it's translated to English now, how
here's the thing. It does not flat out say, if I win, I get to rape your sisters. But it says, if I win, I get to spend the night with your sisters. Okay. Or I'm going to have your sisters, whatever it was exactly. Okay, that, I'm pretty sure that even if they agreed to that, to those terms, which I'm sure they didn't, they would be in that situation very much unwillingly, or if they were forced into it by whatever bullshit code of honor, they would be doing it very unwillingly. Anything he does would immediately constitute rape. I do not like rape. I do not like it, Sam I Am. Do not put it in my mostly lighthearted action comedy. I mean, this was just a bad idea. This is just a terrible decision. It's meant to make Bacchus look like a complete ass, and it does. But in a way that it means nothing you can do can make him not look like an ass, and it makes you look, Mashima, look like an ass for writing that.
Nice irony, bad taste. This volume.
I did not like this volume. I mean, there were some small fun moments. The Mira Jane Jenny fight was, if you can ignore the fact that it's basically just there to show off those two, it's funny enough.
I was only on those pages for like 1 millisecond, and then I just went to the next page. 1 millisecond. I seriously am not that intrigued anymore.
Yeah, it's
it doesn't work. I just realized, you know, they're fake. They're not real. They look attractive, but they're not real. There's no point.
It's stupid. Mm. It's stupid, and it makes this one of those series where you're like, it's not. I mean, it's like I read it for other reasons. I started this series because I enjoyed it and I thought it was funny and it had a lot of good going for it. But then you get volumes like this where you're like, oh gosh, why? And hopefully, as things continue, things will get better. This was just had the unfortunate misfortune of all the worst stuff about this arc being congregated in the same spot. So, hopefully in the future with volume 34, not so.
We don't get so much. Volume 34. I'll just be honest, this arc, I am so not.
If nothing else, it is very boring with these stupid fights. It's a tournament arc, and it's not one of the good ones. So.
It's not the fight, it's more the characters, even.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that is done here, and I mean, later on things get a little bit better, but it is definitely a stretch in the series that I'm thinking, this was not a good idea. Should not have done this, Mashima, but oh well. I think for now, we really don't have anything else to say about this, we're just repeating ourselves. Let's go ahead and talk about the manga chapters this week, shall we?
Sure.
It's time for the manga commentary for the week. Starting, as always, in the order that the chapters were published. And in this case, for some reason the app is still being stupid. It won't let me swipe pages. Like, I start to swipe, and it will, like, sort of swipe a little bit, then go back. Swipe a little bit, then go back. Swipe a little bit, then go back. And I'm like, what? This started happening last week, and it was working fine before that. So, So, basically, this week, we start off with Blue Exorcist, Chapter 52. I can't rely on anyone, which is the entirety of the chapter is basically... One second. No, never mind. I was about to sneeze. The entirety of the chapter is Kamiki's backstory, where we find out that she was a part... her family was basically kind of like a branch family of this family of priests. Mm-hmm. Who their job was to keep the nine-tailed demons sealed away. And they had the help of these fox spirits. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, I mean, she and her sister and their mother, they lived well. They, you know, they got along well, even though the mother was kind of weird and goofy. But she did her job well, but she was her... Well, her lover was the father of her children was, like, I guess the head priest of the main family. And, you know, for some reason, I don't know, this isn't very well explained, because for some reason he's doesn't want to see the children that he had with her, and that makes her become bitter towards her own children until she becomes possessed by the Ninetales.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then we kind of end the chapter with her... with Izumo contacting these people from the Illuminati who, you know, contacted her earlier in the chapter, and she says, hey, I need your help to get the nine-tailed fox out of my mom. So, I'm not sure how I feel about this chapter, you know?
This chapter was...
It's...
You know, it made me feel... Okay. Maybe I am turning over to your side too quickly, but I do kind of feel bad about what I've been saying about Kamiki.
Oh.
Now, because I didn't like her at first as a character. Okay, I just didn't like her. But then when I read this stuff what she went through, I'm like, yeah, that can make anybody feel like, you know, I don't want to be around people.
Yeah. I mean, tragic backstories do tend to do that to people.
Yes, it does do that. Mm-hmm. It does do that.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think of the way the mom, how quickly the mom just switches? You know, she was like the most loving, doting mother ever, and then suddenly she hates her children because this douchebag doesn't want to be around them. No, she was. I mean, she was goofy and weird and couldn't take care of herself and barely took care of the kids because she was incompetent in that, but she still loved her children. That was very clear. I think that the way how over the top she was with that made it so weird when she suddenly switches over to being, to completely hating them, blaming them for
bipolar,
not being able to be with her, well, I don't know what they were to each other, her boyfriend or something. I kind of got this sense that their relationship was not seen as proper, but he still continued to, you know, be with her, but at the same time, I guess there's supposed to be this idea that the children were, you know, not, you know, just because they were, well, let's be honest about it, let's use the proper terminology, they were bastard children that he had fathered with Tamamo, the Izumo's mom.
Yes.
But at the same time, you get this sense, but it's never outright stated. So you're not sure entirely what's going on, and for the most part, it just made their father look like the biggest douchebag in all of fatherdom. I mean, I'm just imagining Gendo Ikari just seeing this guy and being like, dude, that's not cool, man. That's not cool. I mean, at least use them to pilot giant robots and protect humanity. I mean, get some use out of them. Which, okay, all right, so that joke fell flat. But anyway, you see what I mean. No, wait. How would you see what I mean from that? The dude's a douchebag, and it's not really fully explained why he's being like that.
Okay, I don't remember if he really said he didn't want kids, but basically he didn't like the kids, which implies he didn't want kids. And yet he still wanted to be with the mother, and yet
here's what I say
to this, then why the heck did you not use protection, you moron?
Indeed. It's very unclear what he wants. He specifically says he doesn't want to see the children. He doesn't want, and if she continues trying to get him to see them, then he won't like her anymore. I mean, the dude comes across as the most immature high schooler ever. But at the same, why was he still in some kind of weird relationship with a woman that fathered children that apparently it was seen as being improper or some, I don't know. It's not fully explained and I don't know what the heck's going on, so that makes it really confusing and I'm not so sure.
Well, okay, let me get my standards. Sure. Maybe the reason is because in the beginning how it was mentioned that Izumo was saying something how her family has like demon blood in them. He's like, you're not the only one that has demon blood. Especially now, Rin. No, you don't feel special now, do you? You feel some thing, but yeah. Generally, it's probably like, you know, because I'm not sure if it's the main family side, or maybe it's just a branch family. That could be it.
I got a bit of a sense of the Hyugas, you know, with the main family and the branch families and sort of the whole intermingling is, you know, looked down upon and all that. I mean, say what we want about Naruto. That part of Naruto was good. I enjoyed the whole, this is what the clans are like kind of thing. But anyway.
Well, if it makes it worse or better, but for some reason I saw the mom as like a weird bird of Hinata for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's the fucking Hinata that had eyes you could actually see, you know.
Oh, weird. But, yeah, I, honestly, at the end of this chapter, when Izumo's mom gets possessed by the demon and starts, you know, starts killing everyone, I was actually glad when their dad died, because like, this guy's a douchebag, he needs to die. And I was like, oh, hey, thank you.
Like, yeah, but then she was like 18, and I was like,
well, she was a douchebag at that
point, so. You know, being this, I'm like, I get really queasy around the flesh-eating stuff.
Yes, I just tried not to pay attention to that. But
not too bad.
Yeah, so what did we think of this flashback overall?
It did
really well for the characters, certainly.
It did, but it just felt
weird.
It felt awkward.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, this feels like a story that needed more time, and the sudden, suddenly she hates the children. I mean, you can understand why.
At least two chapters
could help. Yeah, but it still feels strange, you know, to go from, I love my children, to, wait, this guy that I had the children with doesn't like them, so I'm going to hate them and blame them for everything. It's too much of a jump. I mean, you can see why the jump is done, but it's just too much of a jump. It feels like this is something that should have been an ongoing kind of thing, you know, where where he says, I don't want to see the children, and she still tries to get him to do that, and, you know, she get him to see the children, and she just keeps, you know, he says, I don't want to see the children, or I don't like the children, or whatnot, and she's sort of, like, resisting the, she's still standing by her children. But the fact that all it took was the guy saying once that he didn't want to see the children, and he didn't want her to try and force them on him to make her hate her children so fast, and it's just, it's very inconsistent. It just flip-flops her personality so much that it's a very shallow character. You know, if you're going to take an extreme and go to the other extreme, you need to take the time. You need to show, or even if you don't have the time to take, you need to show us that this is something that has been going on for a while. Show hints that she is dealing with the fact that the man that she loves, the father of her children, doesn't want anything to do with the children, but at the same time, she's not completely abandoning her children immediately. You know what I mean? Something just kind of show that this is an ongoing thing. This isn't just suddenly, I hate the children. I don't like the children. And she's like, I hate the children too now. And it just makes her seem like such a shallow character. And I don't feel like this made us care about the fact that she, about the state that she is in right now. I mean, seeing her when she was first introduced was very shocking. But seeing what kind of person she was and how easily she started hating her children doesn't make me feel bad for her. This should have made me feel like, this is a tragic situation. She was driven to this because, you know, over a long period of time as she was trying to get her lover to accept his children, but he didn't, and finally she snapped. And maybe, you know what, maybe not even go the route of, I hate you, Izumo, because it's all your fault that I can't be with the man that I love, even though, that's not the case at all. He's still being with you, he just doesn't want to be with the children. You could still be with him and still love the children without... In fact, why does she blame them? Like, at all. It's not like their being children changes anything, ultimately. She wants to be with him, he doesn't want to be with the children. All she needs to do is not bring up the children and suddenly everything's fine. Why does she suddenly need to hate the children? It doesn't make any sense.
I agree. But you know what's funny? This when I read this and I read another chapter that was similar to this but from another series, I was like, why do these two moms actually suffer? And in the case of these two moms, one of them actually, while she was not as still as far out as Tamamo was, she at least kind of had like a subtext. You know, like a subtle reason for why she had to do what she did, but with Tamamo, it didn't make any sense why maybe the sense could be, because she loves that guy, she just wants to be with him. It's like, no, that's just, that is the reason, that is the stupidest reason I have ever read for wanting to hate your kid.
Yeah, and the thing is, the story didn't even need to go there, you know? It didn't need to go there. If the final end goal of this, of this flashback was her mom goes crazy and starts eating people, you didn't need to have her suddenly start hating her children. She could be, I'm burdened by this this injustice that the man that I love has put upon me, but I still love my children. Don't make it suddenly she hates her children when she loved them completely before. Make it be she loves this man, she had children by him twice, which, dude, if you don't want children, stop after the first one. But at the same time, what should have happened was she becomes so obsessed with him and upset by the fact that she is rejecting such an important part of her life that's what causes her to snap without snapping at her children, but directly snapping at him. Because if she's so angry at her children for not being able to be with him, then she becomes overcome by the demon. Why does she go after the guy she wanted to be with? If she hates her children because they keep her from being with him, which they don't, why wouldn't she go after the children when she becomes all demon and crazy and evil? If you want her to have the first person that she attacks be the guy, have her, you know, start getting angry at him, have her growing resentment towards him, and then have her snap and eat him. You know, you could do this whole, oh, she went crazy and she decides, I'm going to eat you so we will be together forever. You will always be a part of me kind of crazy, whacked out thing.
Mm-hmm.
That would work. I don't see why there was a necessity to go the route of suddenly she hated her children, especially when you analyze it more and you realize there was no reason for it. The children aren't stopping her from being with him. All the children are stopping her from doing is talking about the children with him. He didn't say, I don't want to be with you because you had my illegitimate children. He's saying, don't mention them again because I don't want to see them. He doesn't say, go away. He says, if you keep doing it, I won't want to see you. So, okay, I assume she stopped doing it. I don't see what the problem is. I don't see why she has to be angry at the children. It's not like he said, I'm not going to be with you anymore because you mentioned the children this time. No. It's pretty clear that they're still spending time together. But it's like, I mean, maybe it's supposed to be this whole idea that the children were so important to her, and she wanted to be with him, wanted them to be a family, not just, you know, be with him, but ignoring her children. Maybe there was some, but still, the resentment towards the children doesn't make any sense, or, I don't know, it's weird. Maybe it's just a sense of she had resentment of everyone because she had all these elements for the family that she wanted, but none of the elements were cooperating. Her lover didn't want the children, and then she's angry at the children because they're not what he wants, and she's angry at him because he doesn't want what she's given him, so she snaps and eats him. But again, it feels unnecessary to go the route of, I hate my children, and it makes her such a wishy-washy character that I don't feel bad for the fact that she has apparently been tortured by the Illuminati for years. I'm just like, you know what? You kind of deserve it after the way you acted. But that's probably enough time spent talking about that chapter.
I don't like that chapter.
I don't like it anymore either. At first I was like, oh, it's okay. But now I'm like, no, this is bullshit.
I know, it's just stupid. It's just...
Yeah.
If this is supposed to be the backstory to explain why Izumo is the way it is, the way she is, okay, I'm still sorry for her, but
well, yeah.
I'm a hell of a lot more sorry for her.
Well, yeah, situation.
She deserved it.
Yeah, it works for Izumo, definitely. I mean, it's a terrible situation. It's completely unfair towards her that her mom would start hating her like that, but, you know, if it was meant to make me feel bad for the mom, no, that didn't work. Anyway, One Piece, chapter 730, 3 cards. So it looks like we're moving on to the big finale of this arc, you know, where basically
finale or like we're about to hit like the super
Well, we're moving towards the final conflict, you know. I definitely call this the climax, and we certainly are moving towards the final conflict, but. You know, it's just kind of has the way the chapter ends with everyone going towards their own confrontation for the arc. It does feel like we're starting to do the matchups here. So they're moving towards the palace to free their damsel in distress. And Isn't that amazing? The first damsel in distress arc we have, and it's not one of the women. Don't you just love One Piece? But still, you know, it just feels like, oh, they're all moving towards the same location for the final confrontation. No, not countdown, not confrontation. Anyway, and so, you know, it does feel like we're going to get the matchups, which it'll be interesting to see, because with a good half of the crew, or no, not half, but a good third, close to a half of the crew leaving to keep, you know, to keep Momonosuke and Caesar Clown out of Doflamingo's grasps, and to escape Big Mom, who randomly shows up. But, you know, it is interesting to see, okay, how's the... They are sorely outnumbered, just not by numbers, if not necessarily power, by Doflamingo's army, you know? We've seen he has a lot of people that are, you know, a lot of lieutenants that are working under him. That I don't think there are enough Straw Hats to take them all on. So we're probably going to get certain characters in multiple fights against multiple characters, which should be interesting. And see, I kind of see what else. Yeah, so Big Mom showing up.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first twist in a while that I haven't called of Oda's, mostly because it came the heck out of nowhere.
I mean, we had her back in Fish and Pine, and I was like, I didn't think she'd be that fast.
I know, I kind of got this feeling that, oh, she's going to be, you know, she's going to be the big foe for a later arc. But no, Oda managed to use her pretty effectively by having her show up. I mean, it's not like she suddenly shows up and we're like, oh, wait, why is she here? No, we know why she's there.
Wait, is it really her or is it just her ship?
Good question.
Because they said, oh, no, it's Big Mom, but we didn't see her. We saw some of her crew, but we didn't see her. The four emperors, you know how Whitebeard was an emperor and he had like his whole entire
fleet,
kids around him. And I was like, oh. So, you know, it's only just one ship, and I don't think Big Mom would just suddenly appear. Maybe like one of her main crew or something would appear and then try and like teach him a lesson.
Well,
I could, but if she is there, I'd be crazy.
Yeah, that would be crazy, but it might very well be that what Oda is doing is he's using the threat of her presence as a big twist, and then he'd still be able to save her for later. I don't know whether we're going to get the answer to that, really, but it's basically Sanji against all of her crew, so we're like, man. But yeah, one thing I really liked about this chapter was, I'm not afraid to admit this, but I'm going to not quantify, but clarify it. It's when I first got into One Piece, I was a pretty big shipper, and I liked shipping Luffy and Nami together. As I grew older, I realized it's not because of any potential romance that I liked those two characters. I just really liked their relationship, not in a, you know, romantic sense, but rather as, you know, crew members, you know, as captain and navigator kind of thing. They just really have some really fun moments throughout the series. You know, for example,
I like the interactions, and it is very true.
Yeah, for example, during the Drum Island arc, when Luffy says, I'm just going to carry her on my back all the way up the mountain, and everyone's like, man, you're crazy, you're an idiot, and she's the only one that trusts him to let him do that. And sure, they all almost die, but he manages to get them there, and...
Many times they did almost die.
It's just, you know, it's this whole sense of, you know, camaraderie and loyalty that, out of all the characters, they're some of the only ones that I find in this series that you really get some really significant moments of trust. You know, just the fact that here she's, and especially with here, she's saying, okay, look, hey, we need to actually split up because, you know, there's a very good reason we've got these two, you know, the two of the three cards that we, two of the cards that we hold against Doflamingo, and he's got the third one. And, you know, it's like just this whole sense of, you know, she doesn't even make a big impassioned speech for her. It's like, we must run away with tears streaming down her eyes like Frankie was doing last chapter, tears of conviction, of course, because she is that convinced that they need to run. No, it's more just like, hey, here's the logical argument. And if he's like, oh, okay. It's like she's the only person that can really ever make a logical argument and have him actually trust her on it. You know, a lot of the other characters, it's just, hey, we're going, is like, oh, hey, here's a perfectly logical argument, and he just ignores them. You know? And so, I don't know. I just kind of like that. And it's, this is just one of those moments that I really find that I really enjoy as a, I guess, what do you say, friendship shipper? Friendshipper?
Friendshipper.
Yeah, friendshipper. Yeah, there you go. You know, when you like a relationship between two characters, but just because you really like their friendship.
I think platonic?
Platonically. You know, or family-wise. I mean, the characters are all basically family. And so it's just, you know, sometimes you can enjoy a relationship with characters without having it be a romance thing, you know? And I think for a lot of people, that would fix shipping for them if they really just enjoyed the friendship of certain characters without it having to resolve in a romance, you know? I mean, sometimes it's not possible, but it's certainly, you just have these characters that just fit so well together as friends that you're just like, you know what? I really like this. Maybe it could be a romantic thing, but more than likely it's not. This is a shonen manga. And yet, the way it is written, these characters and their interaction is really good, and I like it. So I am a friendshipper. Yes.
Back to the actual chapter. Okay, so you are. That's nice.
Yeah. Back to the actual chapter, shall we? What else is worth pointing out? It does look like Luffy is going to be breaking out of the Colosseum and not sticking around for, you know, the competition.
If he can, you know, I mean, since the bars are made of sea stone, prism, sea stone.
Sea stone. Just call them sea stone.
Okay.
But, yeah, nonetheless, it is, yeah, that is a good point. And it's not like the wall, he'll be able to break through the walls as easily either. But, you know.
Zorg could cut through it.
Yeah, he could. Yeah.
I have a feeling he'll be able to cut through sea stone eventually.
Yeah, and I kind of like the way that Oda is doing this. I mean, as much as we're like, oh, what's going to be the outcome of the final of the tournament, he's still saying, okay, look, we need to get the actual story moving, so we're going to interrupt the tournament, which I kind of like. I don't know, I kind of like it. It adds a twist. We've got a certain expected formula for the way that kind of story goes. And then we see Oda is able to use our expectations to throw a wrench in it.
Well, Torko did that too, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Hey, wait a minute.
Yes.
No, but still, it's even though Torko did that, our expectation is that if there's a tournament, we are going to see it through to the end.
Like Barry does, he did for us amazingly.
Yeah, that was... One Piece manages to just switch it around. And yep. I like it. Okay, time for Naruto, chapter 657.
That title's so funny.
Indeed. Uchiha Madara. In the flesh. Makes him sound like some kind of performer. Like, Uchiha Madara, live, in the flesh.
Do magic tricks. No.
So, Mo, you want to talk about this one? I don't really feel like saying anything.
Okay, so, he manages to revive himself, flesh and all, and for some reason, he has a face where, you know, the pectoral area is, and I'm like, why is that there?
Oh dear. Yes, okay, it's quite odd.
Man, I mean, why did it have to be there of all places? Okay,
I can just imagine that face, like, opening its eyes, making suggestive tongue waggles. So like, yeah. It's like, gosh, why?
No, you wouldn't do that because the face is pretty much, I think the face is Hashirama's face.
Speaking about eating each other and becoming one forever, ooh. No, it basically what I don't know whether it's Hashirama's exactly, but it is certainly capable of absorbing Senju chakra, which It's kind of like, you know, he's combining his Uchiha powers with the Senju powers, which are slightly less defined. I mean, they're like, we do wood style. Wood. Sorry. We do wood style ninjutsu. And Naruto was like, I do that too, sexy no jutsu. Was like, no, that is not wood style. Was like, hey, it creates wood. Shut up, Naruto.
Stop.
Sorry. But anyway, the Senju are meant to be like, oh, we're these powerful, this powerful clan. Just aren't going to explain why exactly. While the Uchiha are very specific about why they're so powerful.
It's so kind of amusing with how, Sasuke is actually trying to beat a hero. He's like trying to like tell Madara like you know, I'm gonna stop you and all that. Like, oh yeah, trying to stop me.
Yeah. And Madara does the whole, hey, you should join me as one of the only surviving Uchiha. And I'm like, dude, seriously? You expect him to believe you after what you just did to the other surviving Uchiha clan member? Like, no. Sasuke's an idiot, but he's not that much of an idiot. Yeah.
We gotta give him credit for that, actually. But yeah, the interesting part was how Madara had his eyes closed the whole time.
Yeah, I do like the joke that you put in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, was like, well, it's obvious, because he doesn't want to see see how terrible of a cast the Naruto character is. Oh, dear, that's funny.
I know that's horrible, but yeah, it's just how I feel.
I think what it's meant to be is that the amount of power that it took him to, to resurrect himself, burned out his eyes, basically.
Probably.
Because I think you kind of see them start to decompose, and he closes his eyes. So, he speaks about, and he does mention that, oh, I've got maybe I'll take your eyes, Sasuke. They will do until my Rinnegan restores itself. So that definitely suggests.
Okay.
He's burned out his eyes.
What is with everyone wanting Sasuke's eyes or his? Okay, well, that's Orochimaru's body, but okay, still.
It's very simple, Mo. It's a metaphor. You see, in the story, all of the Uchiha are at some point shown to want Sasuke's eyes. Now, eyes are, for the most part, circular objects, and they can be seen to represent another pair of circular objects on his body. And in this case, the Uchiha can be seen to be metaphors for the fangirls that want Sasuke's balls.
You didn't have to say the last part. I think they got it.
Yes, and now they really got it.
But yeah,
Wait. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for that. Carry on.
So, Madara is made out to be a threat, of course, and he promises he may just take a look at the cast and just goes, ah.
Yeah. You know what? I actually really like that last, spread, that last two-page spread. I think it worked, it worked really well for me, you know? Well then, as much as I like making our podcast consistent with few breaks that are excessively noticeable, sometimes the internet is a inconsistent mistress, shall we say. I'm pretty sure there's a phrase for that, but anyway.
I believe it's a bug.
Yes. Freaking
bugs and stupid modem cutting on me like that.
Where's Will Smith when we need him? He'll take care of the bugs. Yeah, so, yeah. The other way to get around a sudden loss of internet and recording and just kind of get around that whole issue is for us to just completely play it up as it is a real, make a big deal of it. And it is now a big deal. But let's continue. As I was saying, I just want to point out that, yeah, I really did like that last two-page spread at the end of the Naruto chapter. I don't know, there's something about it. It just looks really nice.
Which one? The one
at the very end, the last two pages.
What, where he confronts the beasts and all that?
Yeah, exactly. Where you see all the beasts and the entire army, and you're just like, oh, there are that many left. That's weird. I like that one. But let's carry on. We're going to talk about World Trigger Chapter 42, Replica Part 2.
too.
Yeah.
Of it.
Yeah, well, you're Nostradamus right there.
Nostradamus.
Okay, I would just like to say is, like, you son of a bitch of a manga artist, you stole my idea.
Stole my idea, too.
Suddenly I'm starting to think my idea wasn't so original. No, but basically what we learn here is that the neighbor world is actually very, I wouldn't say unique, because apparently the two of us thought of similar ideas, but it's a very interesting, fun idea that you don't really see that much in other, you know, manga, where there's this, you know, there's the real world and then there's an alternate world. You know, we get a real sense of the cosmology of it all, of all these different neighbor worlds. They're actually countries, they're actually worlds, entire planets orbiting around Earth in an alternate dimension. And, you know, as when they get close, they can launch ships from those worlds to attack the Earth. And there's about four different states that are about to attack, and you kind of get a real sense of what they are. It's just, you get a real good sense of what this world is and what it could be, that there's a almost limitless possibility for all the different kinds of worlds that we could find ourselves exploring with this series if it goes on long enough. And it's really clever because it makes me want to see more of this series, you know? It makes me think, ooh, there's some interesting material that you could cover with this. I want to see more. Which, of course, means that it is going to be canceled. Because the moment manga becomes interesting, it's going to be canceled. But hopefully that is just me being pessimistic. So, yeah. We have some pretty good material that we can just explore with this. I mean, we don't do much with the characters, but, well, we do a little bit. We find out a little more about, oh, the one guy, whatever his name was kind of like he was trained by Yuma's father. And then
Shinoda?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, and then Mr. Rogers, because that's what I'm going to call him from now on. He was, you know, he was good friends with Yuma's father as well, and is a lot more worried than he's letting on. It gives us the possibility of this guy becoming a, you know, a stern, somewhat irrational kind of douchebag of a character, but at the same time, there'll be more to him, which I'm really hoping for, because, you know, that's what makes good characters. And so overall, this chapter has me very hopeful for the future of the series. So, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Well, I would like to say that, yeah, there's very hopeful, you know, future for this series, because, in a sense, it's like a spiritual successor to Barrage.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Barrage. Well, except, oh, I can definitely see space travel for this for some reason, but more like dimension travel.
Yeah, it does. It's weird how Barrage had this promise of there will be many worlds that they travel to, and here it's goes on with the most boring bullcrap, and for some reason it sticks around, and the Japanese readers love it, even though, well, geez, I don't understand them. But then suddenly you've got, and then suddenly they introduce, I don't know what the heck World Trigger did to let it stick around this much, but whatever it did, it resonated with the Japanese audiences, allowed it to stick around, and now it's like, hey, here's something for though you other readers to enjoy or to look forward to. I'm like, okay, because you're a weird Japanese secret code manga talk. It was completely going over my head. Whatever you were saying in that made your native audience love you so much, I have no idea what it was.
I don't understand how World Trigger got so popular, or how it still is, but. Yeah. This chapter kind of makes me say, okay, just I still feel like that.
I'm certainly growing a lot more positive about this series, which is
yeah,
weird.
But this chapter made me really a bit jealous and rage.
Well, yeah, me too. I was like, oh, what the hell? But I'm doing something different with my idea, so I don't care.
Yeah, mine is not even close to this. But I'm just saying that it's just. You know.
I'm just putting it out there. If my idea gets published, I am just putting it out there. I thought of it before this manga.
Same here. Well, not the idea I have. Not the idea I'm talking about, referring this close to this, but another idea of mine that I'm really pissed if people say, hey, you copied this guy. No, I'm going to say, no, I had this idea way before this guy had it.
Yeah, well, it's all about what you do with it. It's not like the idea of orbiting
that is
you know,
true.
Universes that groundbreaking an idea. It's certainly interesting enough. I mean,
curious. Yeah, okay, let's just move on before we sound like we're jealous old grannies or something.
You mean we aren't jealous old grannies? Back in my day, we had proper alternate universes with lions that were clear Jesus parallels. And they were... Sorry. Yes. Alright, Bleach, chapter 560. Not much to say about this chapter, except I love this guy. He's like a German luchador. It's amazing. Like, there's nothing not to love about this guy. By the way, this is Bleach chapter 560, Rages at Ringside. And I do really like the way this chapter takes the whole, oh, look at me, I am being all tough and manly and stuff, and they're like, oh, turns out I'm actually a big wimp, and Kensei is way too powerful. But then, at the end of the chapter, oh, wait, I'm actually very powerful. I mean, yes, it's been done before, but it just comes together nicely. I enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, that little twist at the end. I was like, "What?" I was like, "Wait, yeah. you're supposed to go for that guy, not this guy." I'm like, what?
And it works really well. Like, this guy's power grows the more applause he gets. It's very much like that one dude from History's Strongest Disciple, Kenichi. The smiling fist Diego.
Deal.
What? Whatever it was.
I
think it was Diego.
Oh, yeah, Diego. Yes.
He was Mexican, or at least he was Mexican-inspired. So, yeah, and I do like that idea where he kind of takes it, you know, this whole, the importance of luchadors and their audience, and, you know, giving him more power and all that. And I like that, and it certainly gives him potential to be the most powerful character.
Why did I get the feeling that Lady Gaga would probably like to make a music video? A luchador theme video.
Well, it's probably coming. Alright, well, I think that's about, yeah, but yeah, other than that, not much to discuss. No, it's just a pretty decent chapter, I liked it.
Yeah.
Alright, it's time for Nisekoi chapter 102, Swimming. And it's basically Ruri swims for exercise, she doesn't really care about competing, but then she finds out how much Onodera cares about cheering for her, and she's like, I'm gonna win, and then she wins. But it was a fun chapter, I thought. Overall. I
mean, it made me wonder what manga am I reading again?
Man, I was having Umisho flashbacks.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was having. I was like, wait, is this Umisho, or is this Nisekoi?
That's a series we should talk about sometime, maybe.
You got me into that.
Yes. That's a series where I was like, this is a very good sports series. Okay, we lied. It's all about girls with tits. Sorry.
You got me into it.
Yeah. May have been a mistake, now that I think about it. But nonetheless, I kind of like this chapter. I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's just a side story. It's fun. It focuses on a character that I really like. I mean, its story is not inspired, but it was entertaining and funny. And it, well, not really that funny, but it was amusing and entertaining, I'd say. Just because Ruri is a very fun character to, you know, be around, just because she really just doesn't care about anything. Like, even at the end where they're all lifting her up and, you know, cheering her on, she just has this bland expression, and I could just imagine her being voiced by Tabitha St. Germain and just saying, like, put me down! There's a reference for some of you, most of you probably won't get.
Oh man, that'd be hilarious if that was even subvert.
Yeah, Tabitha St. Germain does the voice of Ruri. I would kill for that. But anyway,
don't kill for that.
Yeah, no. Oh. He's like, I'd kill for you. Please tell me to kill for you. Simpsons. Let's go ahead and move on to One Punch Man chapter 30. The big prediction. So yeah, I completely forgot that ended off in the middle of a storyline, and I was so used to those other extra chapters being like, you know, just regular chapters in the series. I forgot too. Yeah. I just really love those individual chapters. This doesn't need an ongoing story, but now we're back to the ongoing story, and it's the biggest threat that the world has ever faced. And it is towards the end, they're like, hey, wait a minute. Who's this guy? When they notice Saitama. But, yeah, so.
As it was, okay, okay. the fortune teller lady, seer lady, who pretty much told them, who gave them her last prediction. It was her last prediction because apparently she choked to death on the cough drop.
That's silly. That is quite silly, I find. But yeah, and she
after freaking out so much.
Yeah, she basically the whole point is that her very last prediction was. She predicted that the world was in danger. And everything else that she's ever predicted is she's never used the word danger, so this is seen as a really big deal. So I'm like, that's kind of silly, but it's fun to see the way they're playing it straight. And then they get attacked by the Sky King, but he gets attacked by some mysterious individual. We don't know who it is.
So. Well, I do know. I know it is. I read the original, but I'm going to say... I'm actually excited to see how this next part plays out because I've always just seen the Sea King one for so many times and you know how long I waited for that thing to just get through and the Sea King's the most douchiest villain. He's like
if Bondum were powerful.
That is a horrible revelation.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Horrible idea. No, don't ever make that possible. Yeah. But yeah, it is kind of like that.
Man, I think, I don't know, overall I like this, but it didn't really have anything that really stood out as being massively funny. Oh. And since it wasn't a self-contained story, there wasn't as much for me to latch on to.
It did kind of bother me that the headquarters is in the middle of the city, but then when I thought about it, hey, wait, all these other superheroes headquarters also were in the middle of the city. So
except for the X-Men. They live in a mansion out in the countryside of New York.
Xavier's like, ha!
Yeah, he's like, yeah, we get attacked. We're not putting any people in danger. Stark! He's like, we're not living in the middle of a populated area, Parker. He's like, we don't advertise our identities and then make our base in the middle of a city. Reed Richards. No, but yeah, that is kind of silly. That
oh, man, it's hilarious. Just imagine the superheroes having a banter with each other.
Yeah, Xavier is just like, apparently one must be the smartest man in the world to know to remove one's secret headquarters that is in danger of being attacked from the vicinity of innocence. And people hate us. What the heck? What's up with this? Yeah. Oh man, I need to read the X-Men again. Anyway, yes.
Yo, I need to watch them again.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I feel like. Because there is one thing that I. Essential Z-Men, that's not what I meant. Essential X-Men. There were some collected volumes of the X-Men that I had. They're in Europe somewhere. I need to get them back.
Why are they in Europe?
Because that's where I bought them.
And you left them there with your other family, I guess?
Well, no. Long story short, I went to college. They still had my stuff. Then they packed my stuff, put it in storage in one of the houses they own there, and then moved to the States. I'm like, guys, can I get that back, please? Oh, okay, so they do have Essential. They have Essential X-Men Volumes 2. They have, why is Volume 1 out of print? That's bullshit. All the other ones are there, and they're like $17 a piece or $14 a piece, and that's not bad, but Volume 1 is, that's no good.
Okay, let's move on to Toriko.
Yeah, Toriko, fine. Get my hands back on these. Toriko chapter, whatchamacallit?
260. Toriko's Dream.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically...
Come on, I can imagine the narrator from the anime just practically narrating the titles.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
Toriko's Dream.
$14, one, two.
Hey, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I was still looking at X-Men. I should buy some more of those, but I need to get my hands on my old ones. Sorry. Yes. Toriko. So yeah, this chapter is basically Toriko at his lowest, doing the whole "I am. Oh, I must become not at my lowest anymore" stuff.
Yeah. And,
yeah, I don't know, they don't do, they still have him
very... I lost one chef, how am I supposed to say, I'm a gourmet, how can I be a gourmet? And I'm like, dude,
yeah.
Just lost one person.
Well, not counting all those other people that weren't important to the plot, but, you know.
Oh, yes.
No, but what I like about it is, you know, every hero goes through this moment of melancholy, Except for Luffy. Well, Luffy even had it, but
oh, Luffy had it.
Oh yeah, he had a massive. But no, but this I like the way they have Torkoal. He doesn't go crazy and start punching stuff. He's just, you know, very subdued. He's not himself anymore, and they don't have him suddenly be all end it being all I will save you, Komatsu. No, it's rather he's just like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. I'd really like to see how the anime deals with this, but and then Starjun finds Gourmet Corps is pretty much wrecked, and then we have Otake, and he's there, cool, but not.
Otake, it seems like he's kind of betraying Gourmet Corps from the way he said it. Like Gourmet Corps is in like wrecks or whatever. Like okay, now it's time, come on. So I'm like, what? So, and he always, I guess the new antagonist group, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's, I guess we're meant to read something into it, but I can't imagine what we're meant to read into there.
Well, the fact is that Ennio is composed of both Ideal and Gourmet Corps members, and also the new and some people from and people from new Ennio, of course.
Neo,
so
yeah, oh. Yeah, I think, I don't know, I like this chapter. It's very subdued. It's not normally what we get from Toriko, but I thought it was kind of nice to see Toriko in a more subdued fashion. But not that much to talk about, really.
Not much.
Stay awake, yo.
I am staying awake.
All right, we're almost through. Dragon Ball Z, Chapter 43, once more, the Sphere. Yeah. So basically, this is all the jokes that people make about Dragon Ball Z of they take forever to charge up that attack and then they miss. This was that chapter.
Wait, did he miss? Yeah. I wasn't entirely sure at the end that he missed. But
he missed, yeah. Vegeta jumps it.
Yeah, so basically Goku was trying to give Krillin the whole, okay, you need to make sure you hit him. You have to hit him. Like, okay, I'll be sure to hit him. You have to make sure my son doesn't kill him. You have to hit him, Krillin, please.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I think he's going to miss.
No, the thing is, Krillin had it. I mean, he had King Kai showed him, oh, you need to learn, you know, you need to sense his chi. And then Krillin's like, oh, I can do that. And then
evil chi.
Yeah. But then Yajirobe undoes the goodwill that he'd achieved by yelling at Krillin to throw it, and then Vegeta's like, wait, what's going on? And that gives him time to react.
So
it's like, you know, locking onto the chi would allow him to throw it and hit Vegeta as long as Vegeta isn't actively ducking, or dodging, I mean. So, and then it kind of ends with that. And it's a good chapter. It focuses a lot on, you know, just a tense situation, and it builds up, and suddenly we're left on a cliffhanger of will it succeed or not? Which, you know,
it does explain, however, how later on every other series starts doing this thing, you know, that's always they succeed and they fail.
It became a trope at some point.
See, I didn't notice it until I started reading Dragon. I didn't realize until I started reading Dragon Ball, and I read this time, I was like, huh, this feels like I've been seeing this many times before. Like, oh my goodness, where it came from, didn't it?
Yep.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it is. Well, we can't blame Dragon Ball Z for doing it. They more or less did it first, for the most part. But it's time to move on to Beelzebub, Chapter 231. It was a fun ride.
Oh my god.
This chapter. Oh my gosh. So I like the comparison that Johan makes with the common cuckoo, where it basically has another bird raise it and kills the other. Hatchlings.
Younglings.
Which that would have actually, you know, if this were a seinen series, you could have totally taken that even further with the demon baby actually being born to the main character's wife. Like, they had another child, they were pregnant to have another child, then she, say for example, she miscarries, but it turns out that the miscarriage was actually the demon seed taking hold and coming to term inside her, and depending on how dark you
there's
want,
a movie that's kind of similar to that.
You shut up. I don't know. La 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 la. This is my idea. La la la. It's completely original.
It's not your idea.
Oh, shut it.
You don't want to watch
copyrighted
it.
Derek Bound. No, depending on how dark you want it to do it, you could have like the wife die at childbirth, or you know, or something like that. Which I almost feel like that would be a necessity, and. Anyway, Wait, what were we talking about? Oh,
we were
right.
talking about, yeah, Johan with the common cuckoo thing.
Yeah. Johan's a common cuckoo. No, but, yeah, Oga basically does the whole, I power up and I beats you. And then he decides, you know what, I should probably leave the kid with his mom. And says, like, hey, you need to return back to the demon world. Also, don't destroy our world. And, okay, this was big. I mean, this was totally worth the, all the buildup of the art, the less than stellar moments. It's Bale says his first word, and he says, Dada.
It's close enough.
Yeah, which is like, not really your dad, technically, but much brother father than your actual biological father, for certain. It was, I mean, that's kind of the thing, is you do get a sense of who Bale is throughout the series, but at the same time, you're always reminded, oh yeah, you know, this is not his kid. It's clearly not his kid. Even though he's taking care of him, and you kind of get this whole idea, oh, he's taking care of him, he's teaching him. And you know that Bale is fond of him, but you never really get a sense of, you know, how much he actually cares. And this chapter really gives us a sense of, you know, Bale does really consider Olga to be his father. Which, just that one moment just really drives it home. And I loved this chapter. I mean, a lot of the stuff, other stuff was kind of meh, but just that last moment made it all worth it. I mean, that was a series clip, now was it? Oh, why did I forget the word? It's
cliffhanger?
No, not cliffhanger. That's a series climax? Milestone.
Milestone.
Yes. Definitely needs to be remembered. I loved it. It was great. It was perfect. I loved it.
You had the wrong letter.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. There was an assassination classroom chapter? How did I miss that?
Oh boy, you didn't read it. You should read it. It's amazing.
All right, I will read it, but I don't have time for now because we're recording. We'll discuss two chapters next week, okay?
Okay.
How did I miss that? Okay, time for a brand new series that we are talking about, a series that is coming out digitally from Viz, unfortunately not in Weekly Shonen Jump because it is a little racy, but let's be fair. That's only really the first volume is really that bad. As it gets later on, it's actually not so racy. I mean, sure, there's still, ooh, look at these very sexily drawn women. They are quite saucy. And by saucy, I mean there is a lot of sauce in this series because it is a cooking series.
Sauce can also mean something
else. Shut
up,
Mo. Anyway, we are talking about Shokugeki no Soma. Yeah, and that series having reached 50 chapters, we are starting off our recap of it with chapter 51, The Witch's Dining Table.
You kind of missed 50, but okay.
It's fine. They did 50 chapters, and now we're starting with 51. That works. So, this chapter was... I really liked it.
I liked it, too.
Because just to give a bit of a sense of... just to set the scene for readers that haven't been following the series, essentially what's going on is there is a cooking competition as part of the, you know, part of this competition to become one of the student council members, essentially. It's like, you know, the 10 elite members kind of deal. You see that a lot in high school, series, which I'm like, there's no way this would ever happen in the real world. But it's all these cooks and the students are competing to become one of these top elite members of the school. And the judges, as it turns out, are all people that they eat, when they eat, they only eat gourmet food. They are always served with the best. And even though gourmet they may food. Very much compliment a student's work, they still take into consideration, compare them to actual professionals. And nobody is scoring higher than 50 at all. Until her name is
Sadatsuka Nao.
And she is basically has a witch motif going on. That's also one thing that there's a lot of these characters have these very
interesting
clear motifs. Yeah. Which actually she's the first one to straight up be here, I'm a witch. A lot of the other ones are more like, oh, we use this one special Italian slicing knife, or I cook based solely on smell and stuff like that. She's the first one with a real, real, real obvious straight-up gimmick. And the base, she makes this curry that everyone's just like, this smells like puke. It smells so terrible. None of the judges want to eat it. They're about to give her 0 points, but the one judge, I forget her name.
Athena Aurier, yeah, I forget her name.
Yeah, she's this, she's like a high ranking, she's like a CEO, co-CEO of this, you know, like one of the biggest curry companies in Japan or in the world.
Yeah.
And she takes her role as a judge seriously and actually eats it, even though it's about to make her barf. And it turns out that even though it smells awful, it tastes divine. To the point where they all eat it, and they're all like, this smells awful, but oh my gosh, this tastes so good. And then there's one of those mentioned itchy moments, which first I was like, oh, there's not that many of them. Read this chapter.
And then it comes back. And it's like, oh, I'm like, I read it. I was like,
It's back with a vengeance.
This is not the way I wanted to start out.
I think there's a reason why the two of the judges for the two groups were these sexy twins. There's a very clear reason for it. But, yeah. And it turns out that she, how much does she score again?
84,
yeah. So she's the first one to score that high. And she's strong competition. And now
she scored past 3/4 of 100. I mean, she's about 3/4 of 100.
Yeah, exactly. She is, she's almost, almost to a full 3/4. But next one up is Irina's secretary, and we will see what she can do in the next chapter.
And
this is one of those rare series where I like the tournament because, I mean, the entire point of it is just seeing people cook, and it's very interesting. It's something, it's fresh compared to what we get with, just regular fighting series. It's not just punch, punch, kick, punch, laser beam. It's, just seeing every person create something new. It's, it's not just, oh, here, I'm going to do this fighting technique and make it look that I didn't use before. But it's more, here, this is something, I'm only going to make it this one time. You're never going to see me do it again. And it makes it actually really interesting. And seeing, it's one of the only times that a competition setting really works for me. So.
Actually, it's kind of weird when you say that because I think for me, competition setting works for me best when it's not that they would punch, kick, punch, throw laser beams at your face every time.
Yes, indeed.
It's weird because when it's a sport that's not involving anybody punching each other, because when sports tournament is generally what guys are fought generally, and but when it comes to punch, kick, punch, it just seems really forced and stupid.
It's like I said, I didn't say step, step, pivot, step, step, turn, pirouette, step, pivot. I said step, pivot, step, pivot, pivot. That is like the one Simpsons quote I can't quote because I can't keep up. Anyway, let's go on to the Kodansha manga, shall we?
Yep.
Starting with Fairy Tale Chapter 363, Stories That Demons Read.
Demons read stories?
Apparently, did you not see the one woman reading? So, we find out that pretty much all the other fairy tale groups that are out failed to save the other elders. And also, worth pointing out, the other teams are Gajio and Levi and the hangers-on, because they are clearly the third and fourth wheel on this cart. Wait, that makes a stable cart. Okay, there you go. The perfect relationships are man, woman, and then the second perfect one is man, woman, two other people. Or, if you want, man, man, or man, man, two other people. There. Let's be PC about this. But also you have Gray and Juvia are teaming up, which I just want to point out, this is weird. You've got, basically, Mashima paired them off in the most popular ships. You've got Natsu and Lucy, you've got Gray and Juvia, you've got Gajio and Levi, and then when you realize that Elfman and Lisanna were together, suddenly you're like, I don't like this pattern. But then suddenly it ends with, oh, then Urza and Mira Jane teamed up together, and you're like, you know what? I'm cool with this pattern.
I didn't know this pattern. Yeah, I didn't know it was that one.
It was kind of a little bit for the most part, but yeah, we find out that Elfman and Lisanna are attacked by that one demon woman who
starts an S. She's pretty much the considered to me the sexiest demon woman there. Yeah. After Kyoka.
Oh, mo. But I absolutely love the scene, the way it's portrayed, that she can control body parts. You see, it's just the panel, the way they show Elfman grabbing Lisanna by the neck and when he starts strangling her, it just happens, and he doesn't even notice what's going on. And then he notices, and I can just imagine him thinking, oh, not again! And of course he starts strangling her and stuff, and you're just like, oh gosh,
and then
that pattern is starting to,
And then it cuts off after that.
Yeah, so
it cuts off to the others. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, I would just like to point out that if we go based off of real world strength differences, and you compare the size of Lisanna and the size of Elfman's arms and hands, I would just like to say that this is going to end up with her head popped off.
Yeesh.
Yeah. It is going to go...
It's probably not, because, you know, we all know how Massimo is about his girls.
She's not actually going to hurt her. Yeah, I know. But, we find out that the others had, they'd found... Well, we find out that... There's a pretty major bomb, a plot bomb, but also a literal bomb, that will wipe out all magic. And as we just learned this arc, and this was never brought up before, but if a mage... Actually, no, wait, this was brought up before.
It was, yes.
Yeah, with, during the Phantom Lord arc. Oh my gosh, Mashima. Well done. But yeah, we find out that, yes, as we also knew from the Phantom Lord arc, if a mage loses all their magic power, that gives them a pretty serious sickness, and they're going to start dying. And it turns out, conveniently, that with this new type of magic, the demons can keep doing their thing, and they continue using their powers. And
because demons use curses, not magic.
Yes, and I kind of like—I don't know—I like the addition of curses. It's not really explained exactly how they're different, except that they're different. It's just said these are different from magic, but it's not fully explained.
They might be words or something.
I don't know. I think it's meant to be, it's more of an offensive only type of power. But nonetheless, we find the fairy tale has discovered more former council members and former council presidents that they really need to protect, because those are the ones that know the secret. And if they are killed, then it's like the bomb is unlocked, basically.
Yeah.
And it turns out that Makarov sent Mira Jane and Urza to protect them. Is basically, I've sent our two most reliable members. And you're like, yeah, this is cool. I like this chapter. Compared to the last chapter, it's definitely a lot better. And there were some amusing moments, some if you care to read it more into this than necessary moments, but I still quite enjoyed them.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I mean, the whole, bringing up the anti-magic bomb that could, like, eradicate all magic. Mm-hmm. But then, how you remembered, wait, was it from the Phantom Arc?
Yeah, it was when Makarov was hit by, what's his name's, Uria, I think it was.
Aria,
that's it, Aria.
Hate that.
I remember plot points, you remember the names. Together we make the perfect team. Perfect team of failure, but it's when Arya hits Makarov with the magic that sucks his entire magic out, and he's severely injured, mostly because, they're like, if we don't get his magic back, he will, he will not recover, and so, and so it kind of works, and that's that basic principle that has been established in the series, and I like that. That really makes me like this a lot more, because it is something that was established. It's not something that Mashima just pulled out of his butt for this arc. So, well done. I enjoyed this. So strange that I liked this chapter, but I hated the volume that we were discussing earlier. So,
well, that's because the volume was earlier. This is chapter.
Yeah, this chapter was good. I liked it. All right, last one. Seven Deadly Sins. Chapter 58. Assumed Readiness. So, yeah, I like this chapter. Overall, it was enjoyable. I mean, it was cool. Me like a lot. I don't know, this series is just one of those ones where I like it, but I don't have much to say about it. You know? So,
yeah.
I don't know, do you have anything to say about it?
Very tough at the chapter. It was alright, just some panels I felt like were just unnecessary to focus on.
Are you starting still on Fairy Tale?
Oh.
I'm talking about Seven Deadly Sins, yo.
Oh, so yeah, Seven Deadly Sins.
Yeah, but yeah, I know what you meant. And
but yes.
Come on, it's Fairy Tale. Yeah. Of course there are going to be unnecessary ass and tit shots.
But yeah, Seven Deadly Sins, that was actually a good chapter.
It was, yeah. I just like the general world and setting of this series. It's very much something that, I mean, the story at times is not the strongest, I find. But I just like the design and the world that it's set in so much that I'm willing to overlook some of the weaker aspects of what that I find of the story. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's basically, oh no, you can't kill him, I recognize that guy, he was nice. But then it turns out, oh wait, look, if you don't fight, you're gonna end up having everyone die.
Kind of thing. Don't bond saying that.
Yeah, and then we have Meliodas gets the sword from his former lover that we just found about last week. And then he cuts the demon up to pieces. It's cool.
Lots of pieces.
I'm going to say it again. I really love the design of that sword. It's like a cross between a gladius and a more, you know, well, not Celtic, but more kind of... Actually, no, wait. It is a fairly Italian style overall. So, well played. So, I mean, it's not a gladius blade. It's a gladius hilt, but it's definitely more like I forget what they're called, but they're a very specific kind of dagger that was designed specifically
to armor. Yeah,
kind of like the ones that Boromir's sword was kind of based on, you know? Kind of like that.
Okay, I'll nod my head.
But anyway, I like this chapter. It resolved everything nicely, and now we're kind of moving on to other things.
This chapter is actually interesting. Well, maybe it's already been done before, but you know how most shonen series are like, you know, we can't kill this guy because we kill him, we'll just be wrong thing. But this is like Viper Destiny. It's like, yeah. I'm just saying, hey, if you don't kill him, he's going to kill you, and he's going to kill him,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to kill me, yeah. and he's going to kill him, and he's going to kill everyone else.
But most importantly, he's going to kill me.
He's going to kill me.
No, actually, no, he can't, because he tears bonds. Like torso off of his legs, and he's still fine. But yeah, it's a very medieval mindset. You know, this whole sense of, you know what, there is no time for mercy. You have to kill, otherwise others will kill you.
Also, not to mention, Bond did fight a demon before.
Yeah, man, he's
so immortal. Of course he would definitely be like, you know, I'm not letting this thing live no matter what.
Yeah,
but it was a little bit of a part, but at the end when they actually killed the demon. And then, you know, like, all left of the guy was left, and he had the man to say, thank you, and it was a bond, because he found, like, like a flower that came from stopping the dead guy's torso, and he crushed it, and he just said, thank you. I was like, it's, you know, just, you know, it just shows these guys are not as bad as, you know, well, because we know they're not bad,
but
generally the good guys. And,
yeah, I mean,
considering that Dale, the guy who died, is generally the father of Gila, so it kind of...
Well,
yeah,
she's not completely awful. I mean, she's pretty bad, but not completely awful. But yeah, it's still... I do like this whole sense of, oh, hey, these are people that we're fighting against. That they used to be our friends or our comrades. And it's
wait,
like
awful? Didn't she kill Veronica?
What? Didn't she kill who?
Gila. I think so, because she seemed like she, because there was her, Jericho, and whatever it was, the tournament place.
Oh.
And I do believe it was Gila that killed Veronica.
I can't remember. I don't know. We'll see. I'll probably have to look back on that. But, Yeah, I think that about takes care of our discussion, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and move on to our wrap-up. And, man, I can't remember. Did we do the comments or the rankings first? I think we do the comments.
We do the comments.
Yes, let's do the comments first. Let me pull those up. First, comments. Let's see. Yeah, well, let's just take a look at the very end. All right. Where did those... this would let me turn the pages. There we go. Whoops. Sorry.
I can go first if you want me to.
I got it. Blue Exorcist. Kazue Kato. Volume 12 will be released on December 27th in Japan. Please check it out. I wish everyone a happy new year.
And happy holiday. No. Not everybody celebrates Christmas. Anyways, One Piece, Angel's Oda. A few weeks ago, I mentioned All Japan Pro Wrestling when I meant New Japan Pro Wrestling. Minoru-san, how embarrassing. Yo!
This is absolutely outrageous, Oda. How dare you? I have no idea what the difference is.
I don't know anymore.
Yeah, man. Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. I went back to my parents' house. I had so many laughs talking to my family. I laugh so easily lately.
That's good.
The cruel part of me thought of something funny, but I'm not going to share.
You're horrible. Okay.
Yes.
World Trigger's Ashihara. We had an official promotional video created for the manga, Katsuo-san. Thank you so much. And he has a YouTube link to it.
Oh, cool. I click it, but it don't work. What is this newfangled technology? Doesn't even work when it's supposed to. No, anyway.
Sunners, I mean, no offense to Southerners. Southerners are cool. They're really cool. Please don't shotgun me.
Yeah. Like, I bet you squeal like a pig. For the record, I haven't seen that movie, and I don't want to.
Wait, what movie was that?
What was it? I forgot.
I saw Dukes of Hazzard.
No, that's not it. No. No, it's... I wanted to say Misery, but that's not it. Anyway, Bleach's Tite Kubo. I'm struggling over what special New Year's treats to send my family. None of them are just right.
Well, yeah. Very difficult to figure out. Okay. Nisekoi, Nashikomi. My editor is overseas on his honeymoon right now. People in the editorial department, take this opportunity to put gum on his chair.
Let me guess, they're all single.
Oh, boy.
All right, Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. I bought an electric bicycle in the summer, but with the short fall season this year, I barely got to ride it.
Short? I see, what's kind of...
Electric bicycle?
Everything's electric.
What's an electric... It's electric. No, but seriously, what's an electric bicycle?
Don't ride out in the rain.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
It's a wonderful day. Is it raining? Oh, no.
I'm going to kill everyone on the street. Oh, boy. Let's talk about our ranking, shall we?
Yeah.
This is going to be an interesting one. I put Nisekoi at number 4.
Oh.
I liked it, but it wasn't phenomenal. I liked it better than some of the other chapters we got. What's your number 4?
My number 4, I guess, would be Bleach. Because, you know, it wasn't that great, but it wasn't worse than the
other. Well, it was too short to have anything offensive in it. Really,
yeah, so. It was kind of interesting with the twist at the end, and I guess with Kensei's, you know, fist. I mean, fist always freaking fist comes always off. Just admit it.
Indeed.
No. Just admit it. Put them up. Put the dude up. Okay.
Yes,
exploding fist. But
yeah, I put Bleach as my number 3. Just because I really like that luchador character. He's a lot of fun. And there wasn't enough in the chapter for me to really latch on and get angry about. So I just really like this chapter. Bleach has been kind of up and down the past couple of weeks. But overall, I've been enjoying myself. So, what's your number 3?
One Punch Man.
Okay.
Seeing as I was reading something that I read before, but you know, better art generally, and with the whole seeing the character design again, with the whole I see. Well, Yeah, I can't think of like what? I can't think of why she liked it again.
Oh well.
But I guess it's probably because maybe it's a prelude to the next arc
Okay.
that's gonna be happening.
Oh, fair
I
enough.
like that one.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Second place, well, we both put World Trigger.
Yeah.
It has a lot of promise for the manga, and I really like that. So, what can I say? I enjoyed it.
Jeez, if it's going to do that, then it better stay there because I want my space traveling adventure, dang it.
Well, Space Dandy is coming out.
Well, yeah, I don't have cable.
Yeah, well, it's going to be on Funimation.com
I
and
don't have
eventually on
cable.
Hulu.
Oh, all right. All
And
right.
one
Oh,
first place,
I think
the.
Funimation is offering like a 30-day free trial or something online.
It'll
I
be
got an
on
email
Hulu
about it.
eventually. Anyway, first place, or
Obviously.
number one, as we shall say, is One Piece. I mean, this was just a great chapter. What else can we say? No, really, what else can we say?
Holy crap, it's a lot that's gonna be happening later on.
Yep. Yeah, we might not see Nami and Sanji and Chopper and.
Usopp and
No,
Robin.
no, 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 no. They're in a separate
Oh, you mean
section.
them.
Yeah, we're
Yeah.
probably not going to see them for all. Oh man, they don't have Chopper there. They are going to die.
Wait. I thought, no, they
Chopper is
have
with
Chopper there.
Nami.
Yeah,
Chopper
Chopper
is
and
with
Luffy.
Nami. Luffy and the others are going to die.
Or get new rectum.
Yeah.
If
Band-Aids
they
fix
live.
everything. Now,
If
suddenly there's a real reason to save Law. They're like, oh crap, I'm gonna pass out from blood loss. Law, help me! He's like, help me first, you jackasses! Oh gosh.
Doctor, doctor, where's the doctor? Doctor's right there. Say the doctor. Oh,
He's like, ah, crud! Yeah,
oh boy.
One Piece is gonna be great. But that wraps up our episode for the week. Oh, as I indulge in a yawn, as this has been episode 76 for the week of December 9th. It's coming out a little bit late, mostly because of scheduling conflicts on our parts, the facts that we're both trying to get jobs and better jobs. So,
Yeah, I'm actually working on getting jobs.
indeed. Yeah, I have to
Happy
say,
hands.
overall, this was a good week. I enjoyed myself. I mean, the fairy tale volume was disappointing, but everything else was, for the most part, pretty on par. But I will have to say, if any of you have any questions or comments, contact us at burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or go on Twitter at burninglizard. If you leave a comment at burninglizardstudios.com or burninglizardstudios.blogspot.com, we will get in touch with you, or we'll read your question over the air and we will discuss it. And as always, remember, the manga is always better.
Ciao.
Especially in the case of One Piece. See ya.